Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 25th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, and welcome to another edition of the best in live overnight talk radio. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Hawaiian and Tahitian island chains, all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the ever-growing Internet. Here we are. Good morning. It's going to be an interesting open-line type morning for you. We've got a lot going on. Well, I spent the better part of the midday today doing what anybody with the time to do, during the day, with the time to spend, would have done, and that is watching the news conference of the NTSB and the various comments about Flight 800. Now, the bottom line is fairly simple. They, as you know, recovered the cockpit voice recorder and the data recorder. They've had an initial look at them and have recovered precious little information, basically. At about 11 minutes and seconds into the flight, everything stops, a catastrophic stoppage of power. Now, it's very similar to Pan Am 103 in the sense that the various cockpit voice recording channels all recorded a very, very tiny anomalous sound just prior to the cutoff. So that's all they've got to work with. They are going to turn this thing inside out, upside down, inside out, and they are going to try to determine exactly what that sound means. They will be looking at the data channels that, you know, monitor things like altitude and flaps and all the rest of that sort of thing. They will monitor, they will do more work on those as well. So they have teams working now on both boxes. But to get to the bottom line, they now are coming out, even the FBI came out and said it now seems more likely it was a bomb or missile. They certainly are not excluding the missile theory at all. In fact, they're including it now. One spokesman said mechanical failure, that probability is down to about 5 or 10%. So the bottom line seems to be, even though they don't know yet for sure, they say, he says, it looks like it was a bomb or a missile. And as a result, tough new aviation security measures were announced today by our president. And as a traveler next week, I want to thank him for that. And I frankly have no problem with it at all. More money, more time to check in, suits me. I'm willing to go through it. And most all the interviews that I saw on CNN and elsewhere, people are saying the sensible thing. You know, of course they're going to spend a few more bucks or a few more minutes in check-in to get searched. I have nothing to hide. There are a couple of things I want to ask about here, though. One is, they have a new machine. We talked about this once before, but I actually saw it demonstrated yesterday, which, when you walk through it, unlike the old metal detectors, actually, I know this sounds unbelievable, but it can look through your clothing and see you naked, nude. They actually showed it working, and there walked a person with clothes through the detector, and, oh my God, on the screen there was a nude person. Now, in some way, this machine is able to, in essence, look through clothes, like the old, remember the old Superman X-ray glasses that didn't work? Well, this one works. It detects and paints the skin and goes right through the clothing. It's not like it's looking at your internal organs as an X-ray would, but it goes through your clothing and paints you nude on the screen. One other aspect that I don't understand exactly that they're going to do is interesting. They are going to increase the number of people who fit what they call the terrorist profile. Now, maybe you all can help me out with this. What is a terrorist profile? I'm really serious here. What exactly does a terrorist look like? Is it a disheveled person? Is it somebody with long hair or earrings? Is it somebody named Ahmed? Is it somebody who looks nervous or sweaty? I'm curious. I really am honestly curious. What is the profile of a terrorist? Whatever that profile is, and they know and we don't, I guess, they are going to be questioning these people and looking carefully through their luggage. At any rate, I really, personally, even with the nude thing, although I don't exactly like the idea, I don't have a problem with it. I would rather go through that than die. How about you? So we still don't know. What I think we're beginning to know is that clearly, I can't even say clearly, but everybody is leaning toward terrorist action. What do you think? Domestic or foreign? God, I hope it's foreign. I really hope it's, you know, for our sakes, I hope this is foreign terrorism. I really do. Tomorrow night, we will do an experiment with the ability of people with computers to decipher secret messages. Now, I'm not going to say any more about it than that right now, but tomorrow night we're going to do that, sort of in line with what they're going to try to do with this TWA fraction, actually, of a second, that they're going to have to try to figure out, is this an explosion? Is this a missile hitting the aircraft? Is this some sort of catastrophic immediate disintegration in air due to, I guess I'm at the same place they are. I just don't believe that could be. Any mechanically caused disintegration would take at least a matter of seconds, even if an engine let go and pieces of the blades went through the turbine went through the fuel sacks. There was a white explosion, and so you know that kind of end for this aircraft would not explain the white flash followed by the fuel going up. So I think we're down pretty much to the fact that it was terror. No prior claim, so no interest in claiming responsibility. So it's general terror, just to terrorize all of us. So I guess there is no choice. I mean, the president really is right. We've got to crack down on security. It's sad. America used to be a place where it was relatively safe to live and fly, and yeah, you could expect an accident every now and then, but generally you didn't expect to be blown out of the sky with a bomb or shot out of the sky with a missile. But I'm sorry, we have arrived at that point. So those are my comments on Flight 800. I saw the entire NTSB press conference and the FBI people, and you didn't have to read very far behind between the lines to know they were obviously talking about a bomb or a missile. Now, crop circles. Boy, do I have crop circle information for you tonight. These things, I guess, come in, you know, in pairs, or I'm at a loss to explain to you why we're getting so many of them all at once. There has got to be a reason for it, I suppose. I don't know what that reason is. But as you know, there was one in Butte, Nebraska, and somebody was kind enough to send me an aerial photograph of the Butte, Nebraska crop circle. It is not as interesting, nor is the resolution of the photograph as good as the other two we've got up there right now. However, I have indeed sent it to ye old webmaster, Keith Rowland, who has placed it upon the net. If you want to see what the Nebraska crop, the interesting thing about this one, even though it's a relatively simple crop circle, is Dr. Levengood, local police authorities, and others have looked very, very carefully at this and have declared it not to be a hoax. This is not a hoax. And it's in a barley field as well. So I would strongly suggest that along with Stonehenge and the double helix, so-called, now we have the Nebraska crop circle on the web page as well. And guess what? I've got word and a fax that we've got yet another one, folks. Hi, Art. Just received this from the Center for Crop Circle Studies in Washington. I'm sorry, the quality is not very good. These are pictures of a crop circle that just appeared in Chehalis, Washington. Just discovered Tuesday. And he sent me a photograph of it, and it is very, quality, a circle after circle after connected circle. In this case, there are no straight lines. However, the circle at the radius is connected to each other, each one of the circles. Fascinating. If somebody will send me a JPG or GIF rendition of the Chehalis circle, we will get that one up on the net too. But if you want to see the one in all places in Nebraska, that is now up on our webpage. We try to stay ahead of the curve as much as we can, as you know, on everything. So something's going on, folks. Something's going on. The Chehalis one is pretty big. Pretty big, 700 feet, I think, overall. This is going to be harvested on 7/28, so there's a couple days more, but it is in Chehalis, and somebody out there might wish to give me a call if you have seen it up there in Washington. I'd like to hear from you. And again, if somebody wants to send me the photograph of it, computer style, we'll get it up on the internet. In the meantime, you want to see what we've got up there now? We've got a good collection of three Stonehenge, which is a mind blower. The double helix, ditto, and the one in Nebraska, which has now been declared not to be a hoax. That's up there. So if you want to see them, it is www.artbell.com. That is the webpage, www.artbell.com. And I suppose it bears more discussion about crop circles in general. The hell are these things, anyway? A congressional leader says that the White House aide who resigned in the FBI files affair was, get this, quote, highly recommended by First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. It was William Clinger. He did it on the House floor, and oh man, did they get after him. Clinger, in essence, said the First Lady had committed perjury. He said it on the House floor. Now, when you say something like that on the House floor, you are protected legally. Had he walked off the House floor and said it, a number of Democrats, administration types, have said that he would have been sued. They'd have sued him. So, This one is kind of getting in the first lady's face, and it will reinvigorate the investigation. It's all over whether or not she recommended Craig Livingstone. She denied that outright. I mean, they've got her on videotape denying it outright. Well, if she did, then there is a problem here. Definitely a problem for the first lady. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. And there's one other little item that you might want to consider, and it relates back to the Vince Foster suicide business. You recall that Mr. Livingstone was one of those sent down to ostensibly identify the body of Vince Foster. Well, Mr. Livingstone had never met, didn't know Vince Foster, couldn't identify the body. So why did they send him down there? And then you'll recall the mysterious keys. So, you know, there's a lot that is going to be looked into, and now with the, you know, the flap over the first lady, why, it's going to reinvigorate everything. Tropical storm in the Caribbean, Cesar, and it will threaten to become a hurricane as it hits warmer waters. It's threatening the South American coast. Hopefully it will not turn north. Lafayette, Louisiana, here's one for you. Man, oh man, here's one for you. Quickening stuff all the way. A doctor was charged with trying to kill his girlfriend by injecting her with blood from an AIDS patient. Dr. Richard Schmidt, 48, was indicted Tuesday on an attempted murder charge and jailed without bond. His attorney said Schmidt is innocent. The 33-year-old woman, who was not identified in the indictment, developed suspicious symptoms just 2 months after Schmidt gave her what he had said was a vitamin injection, the grand jury alleged. She later tested positive for HIV. Lafayette Parish D.A. Michael Harson said that he would charge Schmidt with murder if this woman should die of AIDS. Yikes. The things that are going on out there, huh? Listen, we're getting a whole rash of reports discussed last night on the program, you may recall. The damage in Tahiti. Do you remember that? Do you remember the gal who called from Tahiti? Well, guess what? 20-foot waves began lashing the shores of California today. 20-foot waves. 20-foot waves. And they said, guess what? It's from a storm in the Tahitian area. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Mega Kilos Art, here are the top 10 most asked questions to God. Remember we said, what question would you ask of God if you had the opportunity? A 10. Which religion do you practice? What do you think God would say? 9. Was it tough to be a single parent, raising your son Jesus, working 6 days a week, creating the universe? Is life on earth real or Memorex? If, as you say in the Bible, marriage is so great, then why isn't there a Mrs. God? 6. Is God your first or last name? On what date will Bob Dole begin his campaign for the presidency? When I die, should I follow the light, or is it a trick? 3. Which is better, a Mac or a PC? I wouldn't waste my question on that, would you? 2. Do you get both Dreamland and the full 5 hours of Coast to Coast AM in heaven? And the number one question asked of God is that you, God? You sound different over the phone. That's from Steve in Portland. Thank you, Steve.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 25th of July, 1996.
All right, this will also intrigue you. It's under the category of strange ways to die. And I've got several of them here, about three actually, collected since yesterday. From Scott, who always writes a good fax in Butte Creek Farm, Oregon, listening to KEX. Hi, Art. Three questions you've asked this week got me thinking. First, the weirdest ways to die. Not long ago, there was a local suicide that, had it gone as intended, would not have been unusual. The victim had intended on hanging himself, so he found a three-story house, which was under construction. Local building codes required the installation of an elevator. The poor fellow obviously had no clue about the art of hangsmanship. So he used a rope that was too big in diameter and gave himself too much slack. He used the top of the elevator shaft as the jump-off point. Well, the drop was too far, the rope too strong, his head popped off like an overstressed rivet. I always wondered if he had a second or two of consciousness to realize what had happened. Boom! He goes on, if I could ask God only one question, it would be this. If you are the creator of everything and know all that will happen in the future, do we as people really have free will? Ooh, that's a good one. And finally, what do I know now that I wish I had known when I was younger? Now, I wish I'd known as much about the psychology of women as I do now. It's probably a good thing that I didn't. I would have gotten into a lot more trouble. See ya. And then these entries. One, a lady had just purchased a new home with a garage out back when she arrived to inspect how the movers had placed her furniture. And it had just begun to rain. She decided to tie her pet dog to a corkscrew metal ground anchor while she went into the house. So she turned the metal corkscrew anchor into the ground, and unbeknownst to her, into the underground electrical wire carrying electricity to the garage. There and then she was shocked to learn of her demise. Item two, a young lady is pulled to a stop at a red light, which had changed suddenly. She was in the right-hand lane of traffic in a small red convertible car with the top down. In the left-hand lane was a truck full of hot tar mix to repair the roadway. You can see it coming, right? The truck attempted a fast stop at the light, but, as luck would have it, the load shifted, and the truck stopped momentarily, then flipped over on its right side, filling the passenger compartment of that young lady's sports car, and thus sticking her with an untimely death. Those two little ditties come from Dan in Nashville. Thank you, Dan. Wanting also to know how did we do in the ratings in Nashville. They're not in yet, Dan. The next day or two we'll tell the story there. We're also, of course, very curious about that, WWTN in Nashville. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
This is the American Observer out of Houston.
How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Fine.
I was listening to your interview with the lawyer the other night. And I find it extremely disturbing that this lawyer and others could refer to Johnny Cochran as unethical when they are writing books and making millions of dollars off of this trial.
Well, now, to be fair, the defense team also has written its share of books.
Yes, that's true. But
and I've interviewed people on that side as well.
The prosecution started writing their books almost immediately.
Well, this is a book race. I mean, we all knew that everybody involved on both sides, and even the defendant, everybody concerned, was going to write a book, and pretty much has.
Yes, and I hear that a movie may be in progress, but only from the prosecution books.
Really?
Yes, that's what I hear. You know what, whether O.J. is guilty or not, and I prefer to take the agnostic point of view on that.
Yeah, well, I kind of think he's guilty, but, you know, only the big guy upstairs
really
knows.
Right. I prefer two or three witnesses myself. Whether he's guilty or not, guilty people don't usually admit guilt. And whether he's guilty or not, I would think that if you had a lawyer, you would want him to do anything and everything to get you off. It's just
that's
that
reasonable.
Simple.
Yeah, that's reasonable, yeah.
And Johnny Cochran and the other defense team, they put on a brilliant defense, plain and simple.
Well, yes, they did. I really can't deny that. They did. They did some things that I didn't think were ethical and right. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong. And an attorney, as you pointed out, is supposed to do everything in their power to get their client off. I mean, that is their job, period.
That's their job.
End of story.
That's right. And for people to criticize Johnny Cochran, I remember soon after the trial, people were referring to him as a low-down rascal and so forth and so on.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Well, most lawyers are thought of that way.
Yeah.
And there are many days I think of them myself that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess they're unnecessary evil.
Yeah, they seem to be. They seem to come along with our Republican system.
Let us
for president, the senator from Kansas is really...
Wait a minute. Before you get going here,
yeah.
let us recall some evil deeds with attorneys employed by the ACLU that are not looked on with favor many times. Look, there's lawyers on the left, there's lawyers on the right.
With Shakespeare. Kill them all.
Goodbye, sir.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. And then there's lawyers with no ideological preference at all. Their only preference is for color, and that color is green. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
Let me be the first to wish you bon voyage. Have a great vacation.
Oh, now I've got a week. I've got a week.
I know, but I said let me be the first.
Thank you.
In case I don't get in the next
week. Oh, I see. All right.
And I hope he gets plenty of pictures to get up so we can all visit and what your vacation was like.
You can depend on it.
And a comment about the other night when people were calling in saying, suggesting that you take up remote viewing.
Yes.
My brother and I had a long discussion, and we thought of someone that would even be better than you.
Who?
Your wife.
Why?
Because we think that you like to have a neutral attitude about things and approach things from the middle, and that would be getting you too far off into areas that you would rather report on as to be a part of. However, I think that you trust Ramona. I've met her. I think she's a wonderful lady.
You're exactly right. Your assessment is exactly right on the money.
And I think maybe it would be something you should sit down and discuss with her after the vacation or maybe during the vacation and see if she would be interested.
One has to ask oneself, sir, whether or not it is a good idea that any wife or any husband be able to remote view their marital partner.
Well, I think she knows just about all there is to know about you anyway.
Yeah, she does. It's true. I'm just throwing a monkey wrench in there. That's all.
What's the point there? No, I'm being very serious, very dead on, and I think she would be a great subject, and I think she would be a valuable asset to your show and a great insight. And plus, I think she would be honest about reporting back, how...
She would, and then when I got a really annoying call, like I got the other day, I would just say, Ramona.
What's her address?
No. We don't need addresses. Remember, targets are provided by mere random numbers. I would just say, here, Ramona, take this number and hurt this person, will you?
And another thing we got for an idea for a test.
Yes.
is maybe come up with 10 or 15 subjects and label them with numbers.
Yeah.
And one night say, okay, callers, this is the number I want you to concentrate on and see what, you know, and kind of do your own remote viewing like you did with the objects.
All right. Well, that's more like ESP, sir. I was corrected very carefully by a lot of people in the audience, and that's more like ESP, frankly. Well, I can see this is going to be an interesting morning. Again, we've got the Nebraska Crop Circle up on the webpage. There is a butte. It looks like a butte, from what I can tell, in Chehalis, Washington. Gosh, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Bill from Portland.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I was wondering, I just got on your webpage, and I didn't see the Crop Circle, the new one.
Go to the Linda Howe area.
Okay.
And that's where they all are.
Yeah, and I had another question. Have you heard any more about that thing that attacked that dog in Tennessee?
No, you mean in there was something, yeah, in Tennessee, and then there was something in Florida.
Yeah.
And I think we're due to get results on the hair samples in Florida on Friday. And I have not heard any more about Tennessee, but I wouldn't be out there walking in the nighttime.
Yeah, you get that right. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Art.
All right, sir. Take care, and good morning. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. Going once, going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good evening.
Yes,
morning,
sir.
Or whatever.
Well, if you're east of the Rockies, I'll bet it's morning.
It's 2:45 here.
There you are. Where are you?
Rochester, New York.
Rochester, New York.
A question for God.
Let's see. Will Howard Stern's ratings hold up?
Well, you killed my punchline. That wasn't.
I got your voice. I know who you are. I know exactly what you're gonna say.
I know.
Well, how about will Howard Stern go to heaven?
No, I was actually. I have to tell you the truth, Art. I was listening to him today,
yeah.
And he was doing this little ramble on about Mother Teresa and Jesus. And to tell you the truth, for the first time, I was actually offended listening to him.
Really?
Usually, I just sort of take it with a grain of salt, but I actually switched the station.
Well, actually, you know, if you listen to Howard long enough, he will eventually offend just about everybody.
It's been 3 years, and he got me. But Art, seriously.
Yes.
I haven't heard you in about a week or so. Did you finally catch Independence Day?
No. No, I'm about to make a transatlantic hop, as you know.
All right.
And they show movies in order to occupy our nicotine-starved minds.
Could they really get a movie like that on a plane or a cruise?
Oh, absolutely. They run first-run movies on airplanes. Oh, yeah.
Is that new?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I thought they were like a couple months old.
No, I would think Independence Day. Well, then on the other hand... Independence Day would not be a movie that I would show to an airplane full of people in 747.
Right now.
Yeah. So, maybe not.
Here's my last thing, sir. And
yes, here it comes. Here it comes, yes.
No, this has nothing to do with Howard Stern.
Really?
Another movie thing.
Okay.
I showed my wife Seven on video last night. She'd never seen it.
Oh, my Lord.
And, she doesn't want to talk to me.
That's an extremely... Not everybody should watch Seven.
She was very disturbed.
Yes, it is a very disturbing movie.
Now, did your wife have the same sort of reaction, or...?
I had the same sort of reaction, sir. I was very disturbed by that
movie. Just wanted to get another plug-in.
But I'll tell you... I see. All right, thank you. I'll tell you, Seven is not for everybody. I really mean that. Seven, the movie, is not for everybody. It is disturbing. It is shocking. It is dramatic. It's well done. There should have been an award for it. There wasn't, and I think that it probably had to do with the truly disturbing nature of what it was and the graphic way in which they dealt with it. But it was a brilliantly done motion picture. It was not given the credit that it deserved, and I'm convinced... Not that I'm a professional movie critic, but I'm convinced the reason it didn't get the credit it deserved was because of the kind of material that it dealt with. That's just me. All right, let's see. It seems like we've got a thing or two that I've got to get done here. What is it? Why am I not? All right, let's do this. 1, 2, 3, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
card line. You're on the air. Hi.
Charlie, liberal in California.
Well, well, speaking of crop circles.
Let me tell you something about these darn, damn conservatives who are attacking Bill Clinton's for letting people who are quote-unquote have used drugs in the past.
Well, they may be damn conservatives, but they're not like the damned Democrats.
Let me tell you something. You've got Newt Gingrich, who says...
And by the way, I meant that in a biblical sense.
Marijuana. You got this large Rush Limbaugh who says he smoked marijuana. There are plenty of people who smoked marijuana in their past.
So what?
That's the whole deal. So what?
So
why
what? So what? Look, they're attacking, there have been, as you point out, people on both sides that have smoked pot. We are now bringing a generation into power that smoked pot. So what?
Exactly. And for them to attack Bill Clinton's people on this is absolutely ridiculous. They're trying to make Bill Clinton out to be some kind of type of hippie, long hair type of deal.
Well, now, in Bill Clinton's case, come on, I didn't inhale. You know, I took the smoke in my mouth, but
all
I didn't inhale. Oh, come on, Charlie.
All Clinton was saying is that he didn't know how to smoke marijuana, which is absolutely accurate. A lot of people, when I tried to smoke a cigarette for the first time, I don't smoke now, but when I tried to smoke a cigarette, I couldn't do it. I was choking, it was coming out my nose and everything. So, you know,
this is the Bill Clinton that must wander out outside the White House to smoke his occasional stogies. Same Bill Clinton, right?
Well, it's just a bunch of personal lies that the Republicans are doing to dissuade us from the fact that they simply are not doing anything for the American people. Let me say one thing lastly on welfare. Yeah, Bill Clinton's going to sign this cold-hearted attack on kids.
He is.
But let me say.
He is. Now, wait a minute. Where'd you hear that? Bill Clinton is going to sign a cold-hearted attack on children?
It's an election year, and it's the best he can do. And let me tell you something. At least he has saved a lot of children from poverty.
Now, let me get this straight. In order to save his own political hide, he's going to take food out of the mouths of children.
Well, I think
is that what you're saying?
Unfortunately, in politics, because what's happened is the Republicans have taken over Congress.
That is the cruelest, coldest thing I have ever heard in my whole life. I mean, if this is really a bad bill, as you say, and this president, just to save his lousy political hide, is going to sign a bill
and take food right out of the children's
mouths, that's horrible.
The whole thing is that Bill Clinton is doing the best that he can do with this extremist, right-wing, radical, cold-hearted Congress.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Clinton could save his soul by vetoing this cold, awful, child-destroying bill.
Yeah, but then you would get that monster Bob Dole in there who would sign something even worse than that, and then you're talking about massive poverty, and we don't need that. We don't need that in this country. It's about progression. That's what it's about. But it's a sad situation that this country's come down to, that the conservatives have taken over, who obviously don't care about the elderly. They don't care about kids. Fortunately, we have Bill Clinton in there who does care about the elderly.
Well, then why is he going to sign this bill? I mean, there are going to be children dropping dead on our sidewalks, Charlie.
It's not that. It's just
it will be the president's fault because he put his name to that bill.
It's the best. I think it's the best bill that he's going to get, and he knows that. And
how can you call it the best bill when children will die, Charlie?
I think I don't know if children will die, but children will.
Oh, wait a minute. Children,
poverty.
Children will not die.
They will be pushed into poverty.
Their little tummies will not bloat out for lack of nourishment.
You're really starting to make me sick. You obviously, you're just like your average darn conservative. You don't
care
about kids. You know
what? All that means to me is that I'm doing my job. Charles, have a good morning. I haven't had so much fun in a long time. You know, the one thing I agree with him on is this marijuana business charges back and forth, kind of useless. I actually agree with him on that. But, come on, I didn't inhale. Oh, come on, Mr. Clinton. Nobody, I suspect even on the president's staff, buys that one. All right, we're... God, that was fun.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 25th, 1996.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. It is very good to be here. Open lines tonight. Nebraska Crop Circle photograph is now on my webpage. You'll find it in the Linda Howe section along with the other crop circles. There is a new and fascinating crop circle in Chehalis, Washington, and I've got a photograph of it. This one just discovered. So crop circles everywhere. Flight 800, a continuing subject of discussion. You all should by now be aware of the events of the day. There's a very little teeny bit of audio that they're going to try to decipher. It's a tough job. I'll tell you what, it's a tough job they face. It's a fraction of a second. And I'm going to give some of you computer users a little job yourself trying to decipher something that I happen to have. And I don't want to tell you too much about it just yet. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, it's Danny from Clackamas, Oregon.
Yes, and what's on your mind?
When you're on vacation, do you think you'd ever play the very first broadcast you did?
I don't even know if I still have the first broadcast.
I'd like to hear that one. I'd like to see how you were.
I don't think I have it.
I was just wondering.
Well, you'll have to consult with someone else then, because I don't have it. The very first broadcast I did, when? I've done this show for a dozen years. Other shows before it. Up and down the dial, as they would say. I've got some very, very old broadcast tapes. I've played those on occasion. They're very embarrassing. They really are very embarrassing. As a matter of fact, I can't listen to myself. For example, on the weekend when some stations repeat the show, I can't listen. I can't do it. Gives me the heebie-jeebies to hear myself. I don't know why. It's been that way all my life, and I know I can hear the echoes out there. Well, we can't take it either. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello, Art Bell.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm the Kansas Cornservative.
All right.
Maybe I can do something to take people's minds off that nitwit from Southern California.
Oh, that was too much. That was the most fun I had with Charlie in a long time. He was getting real irritated.
Yes, he was. Hey, I heard a really unique theory on what happened to Flight 800.
All right.
Did a little checking on it myself here. Turns out there's a restricted area, military restricted area, that parallels the coast of Long Island.
That's
eight nautical miles.
That's true.
South of there.
Yep.
And there were a lot of eyewitnesses that swear to God they saw what they thought was a flare.
I know.
Go from down toward up.
Actually, the most important eyewitnesses, sir, were two military men.
Correct.
Quoted by ABC, who said that it was a missile. They didn't say flare. They said missile.
And I'm sure they've seen quite a few of those because they were both fighter pilots, as I understand.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, anyhow. Talked to my cousin. He's an airline captain tonight.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't help but wonder, what was that thing doing as far south as it was? Because air traffic control generally keeps them well north of that. And there was some kind of an exercise going on out there.
There was, but, wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay.
An important fact to note here, and I've checked on it. The exercise that was going on that a lot of people think was live fire was not. None of those aircraft, not one, was armed.
No, none of the aircraft were. But this could well have been a surface-to-air missile that belonged to the United States Navy. In other words, I think it wasn't terrorism. I don't think it was a mechanical accident with the plane. I think it was hit by a missile.
Yeah.
But I think it was one of our missiles by mistake.
Well,
they had...
if it was, then we deserve to have a new government. And
in
other words, they would know it, sir. There's no missile that's going to be fired from either an aircraft or ground that they are not going to be aware of.
Correct.
And that would mean the military would be aware of it and would be keeping it secret, and that would produce a revolution. I don't believe that's, and I don't want to believe it.
Well, I don't want to believe it either, but it's just not going to surprise me if that isn't what it is, because the government has been giving us so many different stories. I mean, Pataki says one thing, and transportation says something else, and it just looks like there's a shook-up. They don't know whether to, old Southern expression, scratch their watch or wind their behind right now.
I hear you.
So,
I appreciate your call. Thank you. But I'm not even, at this point, I'm not willing to consider it, because the military would be well aware they had shot that plane down. I do not believe our military would cover that up. Oh, how naive you are, Art, right? Everybody's going to say, how naive you are. I don't believe that. I don't believe our military would cover it up. Honestly, folks, I don't. If that adds up to me being naive, fine. I think two things. I think it is either domestic or foreign terrorism, one of the two. Was either a bomb or a missile, but not one of ours. We'd have owned up by now. Actually, rather quickly. So, that's my take. I'm sorry if that makes me a naive person, fine, but I'm still going to believe our government is that honest. So there you are. And I'm going to catch it over that, I know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. My name is Marty, Burlington, Washington.
Hi, Marty.
Sam, I'm just wondering whatever happened to Leonard.
I really wouldn't have any idea. I mean, if someone doesn't, stops calling, I'll tell you what I think might have happened to Leonard. The last call that we had from Leonard was a call that got him in a lot of trouble.
Oh, no.
He thought, we had a story one night about somebody who hung a cat from a tree and let a dog rip its guts out, for entertainment.
Ooh.
And Leonard called up and said, who cares? A cat is a cat. A cat is a cat. It has nothing to do with a human being. So, there's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of people who had been followers of Leonard, because of his religious proclivities, I think stopped at that point. And I think that Leonard got very discouraged. Maybe he realized he said the wrong thing. Maybe he was sorry for what he said. Maybe he was disgusted with the reaction. I'm not exactly sure, but that was the last call we got from Leonard, and there hasn't been one since. So that's just a guess.
Sure, well, whoever would do something like that, that's one of the first signs of some other pretty bad thing following.
Well, it's kind of religious extremism way beyond that which I believe in. Yes, animals are animals and humans are humans, but to have that kind of cavalier about an animal that you would allow it to be tortured like that,
Sure.
that's not part of my religion.
Sure. Say you still have your air purification units.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Yep, I work with them and good units. Anyway, listen to you all the time. Really enjoy the show. It's hot up here and I can't sleep.
Yeah, it's hot down here too, sir. Where are you? Oh, how close to Chehalis are you?
Chehalis. Ah, boy, I'm guessing I'm about an hour and a half north. I'm adjacent to Anacortes.
All right, very good. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Chehalis, Washington is where the latest crop circle has appeared, and she's a winner. I mean, it's hard to tell because I've got it on fax. I don't have a high-res picture of it. I suspect I will shortly. Please, anybody with a good aerial view here. It looks really interesting. Really interesting. God, what are these things? What are these things? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
All right. Nice to speak to you, Mr. Brown.
And to you, sir. Turn your radio off, please.
Sure. I just did it as we were speaking.
This is good.
This is an honor to be on your show. A lot of people down here love your show. I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I just wanted to make a brief comment regarding the capital punishment issue and appeals.
Yes, please.
You're familiar with Reuben Hurricane Carter. He was a boxer. Bob Dylan basically tried to make him famous in his problem in a song called Hurricane, and the guy was a champion boxer. And what happened is he was incarcerated for a murder in 1967, and Bob Dylan donated money and a lot of his friends for Carter's release, and he was not released for about 18 years, but he was released in 1985 and found innocent. And then if you're wanting to make just a few appeals in a case like that, an innocent man would have died. And that's just, it's just a hard call. You know, I can understand the plight of people whose children die and stuff, or whatever, or people who die in murders. But, you know, it would be much worse for us as a culture to kill an innocent man than for an individual to kill an innocent man, in my opinion. But that doesn't really matter. But I just appreciate you giving me a chance to say that.
Well, you said it, and thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you.
You take care. Down, way down south. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Rob. This is Joe from Santa Maria, California.
Hi, Joe.
How's it going?
It's going.
I was fascinated by the crop circles at Stonehenge.
Oh, they're remarkable. Absolutely remarkable.
I had talked to you before about crop circles last year sometime.
Yes, you know now, I've got the photograph now of the one in Nebraska up on the webpage as of tonight, and there is a new one in Chehalis, Washington.
Yeah, I can't wait to see pictures from that.
So they're all over the place. The big question is, what are they? I mean, what can form patterns like this? We know it's not human beings. Doug and Dave did a few of them. These are not... certainly Stonehenge is an example of one not done by humans, no question about it. So then what is it?
I have a feeling they're something of unembodied beings. And
Unembodied beings?
Yeah, beings of light.
Well then what are the crop circles then represent? I mean, what are these beings trying to say?
Well, I theorize. See, do you know what fractals are?
Yep.
Well, I've made a video with a friend of mine of a collection of fractal images, and I wrote music for it. And I was wondering.
Are you the guy who sent me email about that?
That's right.
Yes, I got your email.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Art, this is Scott from Redmond, Washington.
Well, hi, Scott.
You know, I just wanted to call you and comment on that nitwit Charlie from Southern California down there.
Yes.
And what is so difficult about seeing that these people in the White House, the thing they're doing wrong is not admitting that what they did was wrong. All they're doing is saying, so what? I smoked pot back in the 70s. But they're not acknowledging that what they did was wrong.
I frankly think it's close to the time when both sides regarding pot ought to drop the whole thing. That's the only part that I thought he was right about. We've got a whole generation. Look, a lot of people that smoke pot, let's get down to cases here, all right? A lot of people that when they were in their teens smoked pot because it was a thing to do, have now grown up, become wiser, and have become conservatives. Another group of them never got wiser, remained liberals. Both sides, probably the majority of them, or a good half of them anyway, of the whole generation, smoke pot. So it's probably time to stop on both sides. I really do agree with that. The only thing that I found ridiculous, like the rest of the country, is the I didn't inhale part.
Oh, yeah. Well, what kind of character does that show in our president?
One who probably is sensitive to every little political innuendo or thing that might harm his career, and so kind of went halfway. You know, I took it in my mouth, but I didn't take it in my lungs.
Oh, the guy's got zero character. I really think so. And, you know, talking about the welfare thing and the liberal side constantly bashing the Republican side for wanting to take food out of babies' mouths and medical care away from the elderly.
Oh,
what is so
geez.
Difficult for them to see? Why is it so hard a concept to understand trying to teach people to make their own way and giving them some kind of incentive?
The answer is it's not, and that's what that bill really is. But because of the way Charlie came at it, you know, the usual, we're going to remove the food from children's mouths and starve them to death. And because he said the president was going to sign the bill, I thought for a change I'd just turn it around on him. And what I noticed is he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. And he walked himself right into that one. I mean, he might as well have taken out a 357 and put a 357-size hole in his foot. That was so too easy. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Art Bell, great to hear from you. Hey, got a suggestion for
right.
your vacation. Put some Stan Dave on Danion Brinkley reruns on. That'd be cool.
You're going to hear Danion while I'm gone.
That's going to be excellent. And I don't know how you couldn't vote libertarian after that Harry Brown interview last week. How could you not?
Because of drugs?
Well, you know, that's well and good, but... you know, your argument like, what about Art's bag of heroin? Who'd buy Art's bag of heroin from Juan Valdez's Back 40 when I could get it from my local pharmacist? Who'd buy it?
Well, that's not my argument. I think that it would lessen crime to some degree
mm-hmm.
for a while, but those who have been making their living by selling... anybody's bag of heroin would turn not to flipping burgers, which would probably be their only marketable talent, but to some other form of crime. So I think the crime argument doesn't stand up, and I think, and if you can argue against this, go right ahead, but I think...
Well, why can't I argue against it? Why not up the competition?
You're a real criminal. Sir, you didn't let me finish.
Get on out there and compete with the real criminals.
Yeah, you didn't let me finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What I really am worried about more than anything else, the crime argument aside, is that we would end up with a whole lot more addicts. Now, argue against that.
Argue against that?
Yeah,
well,
sure.
The argument against that is that
yes.
legalization, regulation, and taxation end up with the weakening of substances, not the strengthening of substances. Smart people want to buzz. They don't want to get inebriated, Art. And the proof,
no, wait
the historical proof is here.
Un momento, please.
Mm-hmm.
The buzz people are smoking pot. All right, I don't want to have that argument
hey,
with you.
Let me finish. Drinking beer and drinking
all right,
wine.
And agreed. Wine, whatever. Buzz people. Those are buzz people. But I'm talking about heroin addicts,
mm-hmm.
cocaine addicts,
mm-hmm.
people who require increasing dosages
mm-hmm.
to be satisfied with the high they achieve. Right. Those people are a separate category, and those drugs, brother, are a separate category. And if you don't think cheap, easy drugs in that class would turn a nation into a nation of two or three times the number of addicts we have now, then you're just not thinking straight.
Well, how about this? We tax it, and we take the money from that taxation, we put it into treatment, we put it into education, rather than taking that money and put it into a dealer's pocket.
Okay, well, you have not convinced me that we would not end up with two or three times the addicts that we have now. Alcohol alone counts for about $100 billion in loss to the economy every year. Multiply that by many times, and you've got the situation you'd end up with if you had all drugs legalized. You asked me, why don't I vote for Harry Brown? My answer was drugs. It remains drugs. I'm considering and thinking about this whole thing. But every time I go into a deep thought pattern about it, I come up with this answer, and I can't get past it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I just wanted to call you and ask you. This is Ron from Stockton, Art.
Yes, sir.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, Art. You know, on that airplane that that 800.
Yes.
Okay. They said that they got the black box and everything, and they had something like what, 11 minutes of.
A little over 11 minutes of. You know, the people in the press corps asked him, were all the parameters normal prior to that last little fraction of a second?
Uh-huh.
And he was unable to answer. At that point during the press conference, he had a fax saying only that they had that last little bit.
Yeah. Art, I know you don't know what happened or anything, but what happened to that SOS? I mean, Mayday.
Somebody. Of course I do. Somebody said they had heard a Mayday, Mayday, and that was all they heard. The answer is that was a false report, or it was incorrect, or something. Listen, we're here at the bottom of the hour. Do you want to hold on?
Sure.
All right, then stay where you are. We'll be right back. There was a report about a Mayday, and I don't know what happened to that.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to
now,
myself.
We take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
I'm so in love with this thing. It runs around in my head during the day. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Back now to our caller. Thank you for holding. You're back on the air again.
Yeah, Art. I was wondering about that. That SOS, you know, it kind of made me upset because nobody doesn't, you know, these reporters, they're so hungry for news, and they, but you answered me. You told me what happened about that SOS. It was a farce. A farce.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that to be true. Now, nobody ever got a recording of it. Nobody ever played it. No news organization ever got their hands on it. So I assume that it was a false report.
Uh-huh.
Only on that basis. Look, who knows?
Yeah. You know, Art, another thing too, I don't know if I misunderstood you or what about the drug deal. Were you for it or against it or what, Art?
Oh, I'm against legalizing drugs.
You know, you were saying
I've talked about being for decriminalization of marijuana.
Yes.
But I don't want all drugs available for cheap price. We're crazy if we do that.
Well, you know what, Art? I feel that they should legalize marijuana and stiffen the penalty on crack cocaine.
That's exactly the way I feel.
And other stuff. Now, yeah. Make it, Art, to where if you get caught with a dime rock, you're going to do 5 years.
Well, the problem with that, of course, is, thank you for the call, but the problem with that is that our jails are so completely full of drug offenders that the people who are committing violent crimes are frequently getting out. I mean, we had mandatory minimums for drugs. And the only thing that did is stock our jails full of druggies and frequently kick out violent offenders early. So that didn't work. I think it's time to rethink how to approach this, but it's not time to run up the white flag. I hope most of you, or some of you at least, consider this to be an intelligent approach. I appreciate Harry Brown's point of view, but don't agree with him. I simply don't agree with him. And it's always been a catch point for me with regard to libertarianism. I have a lot of libertarian in me, but that's not one of the bones. So we need to rethink the whole drug thing. We need to be honest about it. We need to tell the truth to our children so they don't begin climbing the ladder. And I think that marijuana and classing it with the other drugs frequently actually helps them go up the ladder because they try pot and they say, ooh, wow, my brain didn't completely fry. I still seem to be okay. It wasn't bad. It was a buzz. It's like alcohol in a way. Maybe not as dangerous in a lot of ways. And so then it's easy for them to conclude, Well, then if they lied about that, let me try this. And then they try something that really gets them hooked, and then we've got a higher percentage of hardcore drug users on our hands. So number one is tell the truth. Number two, don't run up the white flag. Number three, reformulate the drug war and attack it in some different way. And what that way is, I don't know yet. I'm thinking the whole thing over, and maybe you have an idea. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing, Art?
All right, where are you?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay, Baton Rouge. Yes, sir.
Listen, I was listening to what I think was a rebroadcast from guy from Bemidji, Minnesota, talking about the space aliens, and his weirdo quotient went from 2 to 10 all of a sudden. And he's talked about the chupacabra. What are the chupacabra?
Oh, I have to explain the chupacabra again. The chupacabra is either a mythical or real creature that was first noted in Puerto Rico, then South America, Central, and then in America, that sucks the blood from the animals that it kills.
Okay. Well, I guess that answers that question.
And one more thing. It's ugly.
It's what?
Ugly.
Ugly, okay.
But ugly.
Okay.
Listen, okay.
I got some advice for you. You still having problems with your Windows 95?
No, I don't have problems with Windows 95.
You said you had to go through all those steps to get to where you want to be?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it, that Windows 95 has problems. You see, I look at it a different way.
Well, listen, I found a way around all those steps.
There is a good way. You format your drive and put 3-1-1 back on.
There's another way.
Yeah, what is that?
You can right-click your mouse button.
Yeah.
And go to Create.
Yeah.
And you can create a new folder and put the folder on your desktop.
Yeah.
And you, like, can have a utilities.
Yeah.
And then you can go and get the files you like. You can drag them over to the desktop and drag them into the file. And then you can open the file and you have everything right there.
Oh, it's quite a drag. Well, all right, sir, I appreciate your call. Yeah, look, I know. I just haven't paid and, you know, I haven't spent enough time with Windows 95 yet. So it is more my problem than that of Windows 95, but... like the guy says in the funny thing I play occasionally about Windows 95, why do they have to make it so complicated? I mean, it is. It really is, for me, complicated. 3-1-1 was so simple. And that just may be because I was very familiar with 3-1-1, but I still, at this very moment, say I like it better. And I really don't want to get into a big argument about Windows 95 and 3-1-1. I just don't want to do it. I have not yet crossed the threshold of even liking Windows 95, much less loving it. Yes, it's possible to love computer programs. It's not like a man-woman kind of love, but it's a love. And I don't even like it yet. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, this is Doug in Jackson, Tennessee.
How you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
All right.
I was just calling about Harry Brown and his position on legalizing drugs.
Yes, sir.
I really believe his position is just to turn the power over to the states, and each individual state should be able to decide for themselves whether they want the drugs legalized or not. And, of course, this would create a lot of examples around the country, and we could look to all the individual states and their positions and see which ones work and which ones don't.
All right. What would you want done in Tennessee?
Whatever the people in Tennessee wanted done.
No, I didn't ask that. I said, what would you want done in Tennessee?
Oh, I think I would be for the legalization of drugs.
You would?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And suppose you've discovered that Tennessee legalized drugs and all the states around you decided not to. And all of a sudden, all these druggies came rushing into Tennessee. You had druggies all over the place. Now, would that be a bad thing?
Well, it would be something that we could decide at the next election. If it proved to be a failure, then we could correct the situation.
What one little hanging point there. By then, you've got so many addicts that it's so far out of control that you might not be able to do that.
Well, it might also be, that it is successful. and that we find that it's not a problem.
Yeah, but, sir, what a risk. You know, I mean, you're really willing to roll the dice like that?
Well, I think it's something that our founding fathers knew, built into the Constitution that the people have the right to choose.
Let me suggest something, all right? Okay. I thought of this before, and I'm willing to talk about it now.
Okay.
In order that we might find out if this could work, I would say take one place. Don't make a nationwide change. Take one place, either a portion of a state or an entire state, and legalize it there. And let it be the grand experiment that will end all arguments about legalization of drugs. And it would be my bet, and I'd be willing to put money down, that it would be an abysmal, horrible failure. But that's my bet. Now, would you be satisfied with that?
Well, I'd be satisfied with it, but I do prefer, you know, that we look to the Constitution. I think our founding fathers were very, very intelligent in giving the people the option to leave states where they find that their beliefs are not they have the option to leave their state and go to a different state that more follows their values consequently I think that's one reason why the founding fathers didn't allow for states to put limitations on the ability to move from one state to another.
Well, I'd be willing to bet you that if you were to put it to a Democratic vote in any one of the states in this whole union, you couldn't get one state to even come close, and I mean even close, to voting in the legalization of all drugs.
Well, that's fine, and that would be the choice of the states, but at least we'd have the federal government out of it, and it would be the states' rights.
All right, sir, thank you. Well, on the other hand, you might argue that the Constitution properly inculcates into our federal government some power with regard to the health and welfare, Food and Drug Administration, for example, so that we don't get a bunch of quacks dispensing drugs that knock people off and kill them, that sort of thing. So, you know, there are some proper functions of government. I'm for a smaller government, but there are some appropriate. National defense is another area. National defense, the health and welfare of the people. Now, I don't want to see that extended to the point that the cameras go in the bedroom, all right? And I am for a smaller government, but there are some appropriate functions for government as well. And I view the harder drugs as a true danger. A true danger to our national security. So, there you are. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Jim
from Philly. I have to call about Charlie the Liberal.
Did you say Philly as in Philadelphia?
Yes, like where we still can't hear you.
Well.
Soon, I know, soon.
Yeah, boy, getting close. I'll tell you, Washington, D.C., come Monday.
I know. Congratulations. I envy the people in Washington. But that's also what I was talking about. Charlie was complaining about the Clinton White House and the drug deal. Well, the problem is it's random drug testing. And my position, my career, I'm subjected to random alcohol and drug testing.
Really?
And I was under the impression with the Contract of America.
Let me understand this. Don't tell me where you work, but tell me what kind of job you do.
A flight attendant.
You're a flight attendant.
Not a pilot. Just a person that dispenses peanuts and beverages.
Yeah, but you got to be able to walk down the aisle straight, right?
True, but, you know, if I were a football player.
No, wait a minute. I want to understand. They test you randomly for alcohol. Now, that only means, is the blood alcohol level while you're at work above some limit, right?
0.002.
0.002.
Or 0.02.
0.02? Wow. What would that allow you to do? In other words, if you were drinking on two off days and then went back to work the next day, could you pass the test or would you fail?
You would pass the test.
Well, okay then, so? Oh, but, so that's just saying they don't want you drunk at work. So
well,
what?
Well, true, but also, you know, if you did take a swig of some kind of mouthwash with alcohol, that could test positive. but it's zero tolerance in the airline industry. If you were tested positive or refused to test, you would be out of a job.
I'm sorry, I don't have a problem with that. But in the airline industry, it ought to be zero tolerance. Look, wait a minute now.
Okay.
If I'm next week, I'm flying in a 747, right?
Right.
Let's say that one of my engines goes out, and let's say that we're going to make a crash landing somewhere, or we're going to go down in the sea. I'd just soon not have you drunk on your butt. I'd rather have you trying to help me get into the life raft and that sort of thing.
It's true, but it's not really a problem, and they've taken the chant of the whole policing of ourselves out of the our hands.
Well, maybe because they found that wasn't working.
Well, but the thing is, though, if I'm subjected to random drug and alcohol testing, why isn't the Clinton White House? None of the staffers were subjected to the FBI screen, which includes a drug screen. And why does Michael Irvin only get penalized five games, for football? Which is more important, a football player or a flight attendant?
Flight attendant.
Okay, how about a politician? I would love to see Teddy Kennedy randomly alcohol tested.
That's a closer call. I appreciate your call. It's a closer call. You might suggest that politicians, by law, should be clear-headed when they're making decisions that affect the people of this country. That might be fair. But still, compared to a flight attendant, or pilot, or co-pilot, or whatever, there's very little, actually no contest there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, it's Hart.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm
calling about your interview with Dr. Courtney Brown.
Yes.
Last Friday.
Yes, sir.
And somehow it sounded like he said something that made you nervous, which you didn't want on the air, or that he ticked you off in some way.
Really? What was that?
Well, for one thing, after he mentioned his results on remote viewing regarding the Genesis story and Adam and Eve,
Oh, yes.
You continually interrupted him every time he wanted to talk about anything of any substance.
Well, how much of the program did you hear?
I hear it on WODT.
In New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
So how much of the program did you hear?
I heard it until 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. All right.
And
that would be 2 o'clock here. All right. That answers the question. And I'm going to tell you right now why I did what I did and what happened after you stopped listening, okay? Yeah, I understand that. Now, when I'm on vacation, they're going to replay the last part of the segment of the Dr. Brown interview, the 2 hours that you missed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is Dr. Brown was wanting to launch into an area regarding our origins and the fact that extraterrestrials are here on Earth, in fact, in New Mexico, and beneath the surface of Mars. And I understood where he was going, and with regard to our origins, as you pointed out, with Adam and Eve. And I knew where he wanted to go because I know about Dr. Brown. I've read the book. I knew where he wanted to go. I didn't want to go there until I had laid down a sufficient foundation for the audience regarding his expertise, his credentials, how he got where he was going. He was ready to hop out there very early in the program, and I knew that if we did that without first laying down a solid base, that the audience would go, come on, what a bunch of total crapola. So I let him go where he wanted to go. In fact, I made him go there beginning at 2 o'clock Pacific time. And then it really got wild. I intentionally held it off so that we could all understand the basis, scientific basis, for remote viewing. So you missed the cool part. I'm sorry it happened that way.
Well,
but But I had to do the interview that way, sir, or it would have come out wrong.
Okay, but there's something else in addition to that. Now, I can understand that. But usually you repeat the Friday night show on Sunday morning.
Now I can answer that for you, too.
And I called CBC, your broadcasting network.
I'm going to tell you why we didn't.
And
I'm
you
going,
requested
sir,
yourself
sir,
that it not be played.
That's exactly
your...
right. That's exactly right. Do you know why?
No.
Because it was such a good program that I want to replay it when we go on when I go on vacation. We want a series of knockdown killer shows to be repeated when I go on vacation, which, by the way, begins next Thursday after the show.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Courtney Brown's show is going to be repeated when I go on vacation. I didn't want to repeat it because we're too close to vacation. I wanted to hold it like a jewel and repeat it when I'm gone.
Okay. Well, I had those thoughts because that's the way that it...
Well, I just gave you the truth.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I just thought I'd brought it up because sometimes you get impressions and...
Well, it was wrong.
Okay.
You know, but I understand if you got cut off at 2 a.m. Pacific, I understand that you got the impression that I kept pulling him away from where he wanted to go. And
everybody was asleep.
No.
Or at least until the religious conservatives were asleep.
No. No, that wasn't the reason at all. It was the reason I gave you, and I considered it a superb program, worthy of repeating when I'm gone. Had I repeated it then, it would have had too much exposure and would not have been nearly so cool as to repeat when I go on vacation. Do you follow me now?
Yeah.
There's a method to my madness, sir.
Okay.
Have a good morning.
All right.
It will, in fact, be one of the programs that will repeat when I go on vacation. Only the mwah gems will repeat. It's going to be quite a couple of weeks for you. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 25th of July, 1996.
Tonight, open lines. What are we talking about? Well, of course, Flight 800. The incredible revelation of the black, actually orange boxes with just that little teeny-weeny bit of sound that the experts are going to have to decipher and try and decide whether it was a bomb or a missile. Or some catastrophic, impossible-to-believe, instantaneous in-flight failure. I don't believe that one for a second. I think it was terrorism, either domestic or foreign. God help us if it was domestic. So what we should all hope for is that it was foreign. That's all I've got to say on that subject. Well, no, actually it isn't. I've got something for you here. Computer geeks. That's not... I shouldn't use that phrase, should I? Because I probably qualify as being well within geekdom. But computer people, get a recorder out and get ready to record something that I'm about to play. And then we'll see who are the best and the brightest out there at deciphering the indecipherable. I was going to wait to do this, but I think I'll do it because it's going to be just too much fun. And while the experts in Washington are trying to decipher this little split second of a noise they've got and to come up with answers, and you know what, they're saying they can do it, I've decided to provide a gigantic challenge for my audience, the computer people, in trying to decipher something. And so get your recorders ready because, oh, I don't know, maybe in 5 minutes or maybe in half an hour or maybe here in a little bit, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it to you and let you go to work on it, you computer people. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, Good morning, Art.
Well, good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I am doing better than you might expect. Turn your radio off. That's good. Turn it off.
Okay.
All right, that's good. You're on the air.
I was just wanting to ask, you know whether or not they've checked that crop circle up there and around Chehalis for radiation?
No, sir. I know very little about the Chehalis circle. It's brand new. I've got a what looks to be a rendition of it by fax, you know, a photograph that was faxed, and that's a very poor rendition. So,
yeah,
that's all I know about it. It is there, it's real, I can see it, and that's all I can tell you right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not hooked up, you know, to your webpage, so I can't get any of that kind of stuff yet.
Well, we're going to, in fact, thank you very much for the call. The two big crop circles that we have already put up on the webpage, the Stonehenge and Double Helix, are going to be published in our newsletter. And I keep trying to tell everybody, all the cool stuff that we come up with, that people send us, photographs, and so forth and so on, we put it in the newsletter. So you really should subscribe to our newsletter. It's worth it. It's full of the cutting-edge kind of stuff that we do on this program. All right, now, computer people, prepare yourselves, because I've decided. Here it comes. Here is the first rendition of that which you are challenged, I mean challenged, to try and decipher. Here it is. See what you can do with that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. Going. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Tom from Long Island. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I have one comment basically about legalizing drugs.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me that what a lot of people are missing is the fact that there'd be a higher amount of murders. I mean, as a society as we are now, I mean, things are crazy as it is. Could you imagine if this was legal? I mean, come on, there'd be people being murdered, robbery would be up. Basically, we're at a state now where things are bad as it is.
That's my view. I think the people who are selling drugs would not suddenly turn legal.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd keep using them. I think that because of additional addiction, there would be less productivity, more crimes in other categories. Yeah, sure, there'd be fewer people arrested for being on drugs or using drugs or possessing or selling drugs because there'd be no laws. But there'd be people committing drugs who are higher than a kite, committing crimes who are higher than a kite.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the simple fact of matter is that people who are, you know, that drink, how many car accidents or whatever happens, especially these people who are saying that they're for legalizing it. I mean, if their families were killed by someone who was, you know, psyched up on drugs or whatever, I mean, they would change their minds. And I think it's a much bigger issue than just, you know, saying, okay, let's legalize it. Let's just give up, you know, on something and just do the easy way out.
Sure. Which side of Long Island? Where are you on Long Island?
I live in Quorum.
My mom lives on Long Island as well.
Oh, really?
And she said she was out in the yard yesterday, and she said there's aircraft all over the place, just crisscrossing all over. You have that too, I take it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's pretty busy about there. All right, my friend. Thank you, and
okay.
I do agree. Dear Art, I took the portrait of you off your website about 2 weeks ago. I noticed you were in front of your microphone. And you were wearing a suit. Do you always wear a suit to work? Why would you? The guests and listeners don't see you. I'd understand you're wearing a t-shirt and jeans, but a suit? Come on. That's a bit obsessive about appearance. Love the show. That's Nick in Kenosha. Listening to the Lip, WLIP. Nick, do I wear a suit all the time? Not only no, but hell no. I hate wearing suits. But I do it for some occasions, Nick. And the photograph that you're referring to was taken, you know, as a publicity photograph. It was taken by a newspaper when I did an interview. You know, so I thought I would try to look neat in appearance, and I put on a suit. For special occasions, I put on a suit. But I don't like it. And am I wearing a suit as I sit here and speak with you now? No, you've got to be kidding. No way. That's punishment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. I'm calling from Galveston, Texas.
Galveston, yes, sir.
I want to make a comment about the guy from the left coast. You know, that guy who said that Clinton, you know, was just pretty much promoting Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saying,
yeah.
You know, he's everything.
That's Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charlie. Well, Clinton is a liar, okay? That's just the bottom line. He's a liar. I mean, you might not want to say it, but I'll say it.
Oh, I have no problem with that. He is a politician. Is the quintessential politician.
Yeah.
That's, exactly. And to be that, I'm sorry, but I think I've concluded or did a long time ago that you must lie. I don't think you can become president of the United States without lying.
Exactly.
If nothing else, then by omission. Look at the campaign that's coming up. They're already lying.
Yeah.
Are they talking about real issues? Or who's smoked a little bit of pot?
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about. Who smoked a little bit of pot? Big deal. Why not worry about Social Security?
Exactly.
The debt service. The things that are really gotcha things out there. Crime, you bet. The important things. They're not talking about those. It's almost like by mutual agreement or something. So it's all a big lie.
I know. Did you see that Ron Brown memorial service where Clinton is walking?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
The smile to the cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pitiful.
Well, that's political, sir.
Yeah.
Have a good morning. That's political. And you wonder why I don't talk about politics that much. That's why. That's one of the reasons why. It's so pathetic, so utterly pathetic, that it's not even worth... look, maybe I'll yet get excited, but right now, Bill Clinton is what Bill Clinton is, Bob Dole is what Bob Dole is, and they're both politicians, and they're both willing to compromise their principles to achieve their goals. And I could go down the list with Bob Dole with regard to gun control and abortion and a lot of other issues that Bob Dole has compromised on that he should not have. Y'all know that. And Bill Clinton is even more in that category. So I'm fed up with both of them and the entire process right now. And I consider it to be a bunch of hot air to sit here and argue back and forth about which of them is the larger of the politicians. In other words, call us toll free at 1-800-618-8255. No, you're not allowed to use your last name on the air, sir.
Sorry about that,
Art. That is one actual rule that we have that we really have got to follow, no last names. So what is your first name?
Greg, and I'm calling from Colchester, Illinois.
Excellent. Go right ahead. Now you're on the air.
Art, I've called your show before. I didn't know that you had any FM affiliates.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I happened to pick you up on a Peoria, Illinois station. But anyhow, that's not what I called in about. What was it? Night before last, I believe it was, you had on something in regards to what things have changed that weren't this way 20 years ago?
Well, no, everybody gets it a little wrong.
Okay.
What I said was, and I'll try and reconstruct the question, what bit of knowledge or wisdom do you wish you had had 20 years ago that you now possess?
Well, right now I guess you could say I'm... very well trained in underwater rescue training, which I didn't have 20 years ago.
And if you'd had 20 years ago, you'd have been 20 years further along in your career.
Yes, probably with a different type of a position than I've got now.
I see.
But No, I'd evidently taken it wrong because I thought it was, you know what things have changed that were different 20 years ago.
Nobody gets my question right. Why is that? That's very discouraging that nobody gets my question right. Nobody.
Well, you're the immortal anyhow, Art.
No, I'm not. I'm so mortal, I'll be lucky to get back alive from Europe.
And I wish you a very safe trip also. In regards, I didn't catch the first part of it because I just got on to pick up your show about the time that this gentleman was on about legalizing drugs. I just got the very tail end of it.
Ah.
But we have such a problem right now with, people incarcerated in penal institutions. I mean, because of drugs, like your other callers have said and everything. I don't know. You might as well, just tell all your police officers, just give them their pension and whatever and say, well, hey, you guys, got a losing battle. I mean, they haven't got a snowball's chance.
All right, sir, thank you. I don't necessarily believe that either. In other words, drugs could probably be legalized. Now, that doesn't mean I think all the police ought to walk or that I would give up on enforcing law enforcement, trying to stop crime. I just think there'd be a whole lot more of it. I wouldn't simply pension everybody out and say we give up. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm surprised to get through.
Well, good.
I don't want to wake up my wife here. She's sleeping next to me.
Oh, what the hell, wake her up.
This is Don in Washington.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I'd never heard anyone mention the Byfield-Brown effect before about your parts, and it seems to me that that would be the obvious.
Well, I don't know if anything is obvious. It is a trail to follow.
Well, the Byfield-Brown effect has been known since the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And, the first tests were done with X-rays, and a lot of the first landing sites of quote-unquote UFOs had radiation at the landing sites, high levels of it, which... I think that might have something to do with it. I think that possibly many of these are our own.
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. I just don't rule that out at all.
Well, another thing I was wondering is if it's, like our Germans are better than your Germans syndrome after World War II, where we had, like von Braun and,
right.
and others, and they had theirs. Perhaps some of the technology was coming from that section. And that's why Foreign Technology Division wound up with a lot of it. Although it could be really foreign, Andromeda or her father.
It could be. All of the above are possible, and we'll just keep pressing until we find out. Either that or we will never find out. One of the two.
The other thing was that... Major Dame, is that correct?
Dames, D-A-M-E-S, Dame.
Yeah, he was saying that it was parts of a time machine.
Yes.
And even if it is use the Byfield-Brown or the torsion for propulsion, it could still be part of a time machine that has the ability to move within space as well as temporally.
It certainly is possible, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know we will continue, thank you, with the testing. Until we either reach a conclusion, run out of money, or have no more testing that can be done that will make a determination about it one way or the other. In other words, we press ahead till we find out something. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes.
This is Bob from Colton, Oregon.
Hello, Bob.
And I just wondered if I was listening
the other day, and this woman called in about the bomber that went down in Oregon.
It was a B-24.
Yes.
Liberator. Not a B-52.
Right.
As I said at the time, I didn't think it could possibly be, and it wasn't.
Right. I was listening, and I never heard if anybody called in and explained it or not.
Actually, it was a horrible nightmare, because she called in right at the end of the show. Nobody had time to call in and correct what she said.
Right.
So I got about 200 pieces of email, about 150 faxes, all of them saying it was a B-24 Liberator, Art, and it killed me.
And did you got the information about what the old-timers said?
Oh, yes.
About they burned the plane and that they burned it up?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir, and it was pretty well pillaged. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Jake in Columbia, Missouri.
How Hi, Jake, I'm fine.
Great. I didn't know if you knew this or not, but I was on the Internet, and they've got let me turn my radio down here. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, got it. They have, I think it's a link to your page, but somebody is offering an audio net, and I loved your interview with Courtney Brown.
Oh, yes. You mean the archived audio net?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Great.
Yes, it is, of course.
You can save the whole thing to your computer.
Yeah, well, if you want any disk space left, I don't recommend it. But
well, actually, it wasn't really that big.
5 hours?
Yeah, it didn't. They compressed it or something.
Oh, I see.
But I've ordered his book, and hopefully tomorrow I can pick it up. That was an unbelievable interview.
Did you happen to hear the whole thing?
Yes, I did.
Then
do
you understand then what I was telling that caller?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It was just absolutely amazing. I wish that he would have explained a little bit more about how he actually did the procedures.
Well, I tried to go as far into it as I could go.
I know.
And, you know, before we really let loose with what he had determined he saw.
Yeah.
And I felt without that base, it just would have all gone wrong. So.
Well, has he done any more projects that he's talked about?
Yes. I mean, we're going to have Courtney Brown back. There's no question about it.
That is unbelievable.
So we'll replay that show while I'm gone.
Great. Oh, I love your show, Art, and have fun in Europe.
Oh, thank you. Well, I certainly hope so. Cruises are fun. You know, cruises are kind of neat because you've got your room. So instead of flying from country to country to country, you've got your room. And when you dock at a port, you just grab what you want for the day and exit the ship. And it's like you've got a home at night. So it's a little bit different than flying someplace and packing and unpacking and going to hotels and airports and, you know, that sort of thing. Cruises really are neat, and this one is going to be a particularly neat cruise. All right, everybody. Have you got your tape recorders running? We're going to see how good some of you are at computer deciphering of hard-to-decipher things. Here we go. Did you get that? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 25th of July, 1996. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 25th, 1996.
West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
All right.
Listen, Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, this is really an honor to be an occasion to be on the air. I faxed you something today about Art's parts in relation to superconductor theory that was printed in the August edition of Scientific American. So I just wanted to let you know there's more coming by snail mail.
Right. You said that in the fax. I got your fax.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to what you're sending in the mail.
Okay. I'm listening on the air then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, we're following this trail to its end, wherever it goes, and whatever it means. It is an interesting story to follow, and getting more so all the time. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Let me turn the radio down.
That's good. Good caller.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, RT from Franklin, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Harry Brown's home.
Yes, indeed.
And I hope they try the experiment somewhere besides Tennessee, as far as legalizing drugs. I'm a conservative libertarian. Sounds like military intelligence.
Well, and so am I in a way. I mean, I there's a lot of libertarian in me, just not quite that much. But I've got a lot of respect for Harry Brown. I mean, he's got a lot of good common sense ideas. At least the guy, you can bring him on the air, you can pummel him, probably a bad word, I didn't really pummel him, I just asked some hard questions over 5 hours, and get straight answers back. And I've got a ton of respect for him for that.
Well, if he can give you straight answers, maybe he's not a politician. I don't know.
That's right. At one point there, he did go on for a little while, and then he stopped himself. It was really funny. And he said, oh, wait a minute, I'm beginning to say, am I sounding too much like a politician?
Well, I had a comment or two, and then I'm going to ask you something.
Sure.
And then I'm going to get off there. You know, you're talking about politicians being able to kind of bend their values.
break
them.
Why don't you be kind? Yeah, bend their values.
Let me sugarcoat it. But, you know, you've got to have values before you can bend them. And I think that at least Dole has values to bend. And I won't say any more on that.
No, that's well said.
I'm going to ask you to dig way back. Maybe you can help me out with this. I live in Middle Tennessee, and in south of Middle Tennessee in North Alabama, about 3 years ago, farmers were finding that their cattle had been butchered in the field.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Let
me give you more.
Yeah.
Partially dissected would be a better word for it.
Yes, sir.
Very little blood spillage, and then there was maybe some white residue, like a septic pencil that you'd use, you know, if you cut yourself when you're shaving.
Check.
And the only other thing that I recall from this, nobody ever came up with an answer, but one farmer said, you know, like 2 days before they discovered that some of their cattle had been killed, and this is not a black helicopter story, they saw a shiny, dark blue helicopter flying over with men, were able to see two men in like a gray uniform.
Okay.
Doesn't match any kind of military.
All right, I'm very well familiar with these stories, sir.
Stop. Yeah, I'm through.
Stop. Now, let me run this by you. I've heard this again and again and again, just the way you're describing, or sometimes it will be related to a UFO. Why in the world would our government, any agency of our government, need anybody else's cattle? I mean, if our government wanted cattle parts, they could get all they wanted. I mean, they've got billions. They could buy cattle and they could cut them up and slice them and dice them and remove sexual organs. They don't need to sneak out in the middle of the night with black helicopters to get them.
Right.
So,
that was my thought, was why would anybody that can afford a helicopter have to do that? They could buy up their own cows.
See, there's good common sense. So either you've got to imagine that it's extraterrestrial in origin, which, of course, wouldn't get government cows. They'd go out and get farmer's cows out in the middle of the field, wouldn't they? That's really what they wanted. So I never went for the government thing because our government doesn't need black helicopters and guys dressed in black and all that baloney to go out and sneak out in the middle of the night and mutilate cows. Matter of fact, our government has enough nighttime helicopter accidents using night vision as it is. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I won't say what it says.
You're not allowed to.
I won't. I did figure it out. It took about 2 mouse clicks, and it wasn't too difficult.
But you've got to have the computer Zoom to do it.
That's right.
You've got to have the computer power to figure it out.
Recorded it directly to the computer and a couple of little...
Well, don't
let people play with it.
Don't tell people how to do it.
Okay, I won't.
All right.
So we got it figured out.
Is that cool or what?
Yeah, it was pretty neat, actually.
All right, have a good morning, sir. Thank you.
Master there, was it Kevin?
Okay, Kevin.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to your Dreamland show the other night.
Yes, sir.
And I was wondering, did the man that was supposedly abducted by the aliens, did he ever say, like, anything, like, at the end of the movie? You know, that last few minutes when he was actually coherent and he was able to...
What Dreamland program are you talking about, sir?
Fire in the Sky.
Oh, Travis Walton.
Yeah, that's him.
And Mike Rogers. Now, what was the question again?
If that was truth or that was just Hollywood fluff.
Oh, no, I think it was absolute truth. Everybody involved took not one but two lie detector tests and passed with flying colors.
Okay.
All right?
Well, I didn't know if that was, you know, just something that they added to it, you know, to...
Oh, look, if anything...
Really
oh, no, listen, thank you. Yes, my interview with Travis Walton and his boss, Mike, if anything, added great amounts of credibility compared to the movie, in my opinion. That's I'm not slamming the movie in any way. I'm just saying that if, as you compared notes between what they said and what was demonstrated in the movie in terms of credibility, I think that what we had on the air here went far beyond the movie. And that show, too, you need to hear again. That was a very good program. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Troy. This is Troy from Minnesota.
Hello, Troy. Troy, are you there? Well, are you there?
Okay.
Troy, turn your radio off.
Okay, hold on.
Sheesh, folks, come on.
Okay. Now, I'm talking about the only way that we can get all these criminals off the streets is to bring back capital punishment.
We have capital punishment now.
But these murderers,
yes,
they should just kill them quickly. Get them out of there.
Okay, well, let's see how Troy's system of justice would work. Troy, the police are bringing in a guy. He's charged with murder. Okay? So what does Troy do?
So you're talking about people who are innocent?
No, I'm just talking about a guy. The police have arrested him, and he's charged with murder.
I'm talking about people who are convicted of murder.
Convicted of murder. All right, so you would allow them to have a trial?
After the trial, and they're convicted, sentenced.
No appeals.
After everything is said and done, if they're, they're guilty of murder,
yes,
they should
be killed. Troy, any appeals? No appeals. Hello?
Yes.
That was a question, Troy. Any appeals or no appeals?
I don't know about these appeals.
Well, you know, when you come on and say they should just be killed, you've got to be a little bit specific, Troy, because we do have a whole system set up. So I'm just asking, do you want to eliminate all the appeals or... You know, and just, I mean, take them off to the execution point when the jury comes back and says, guilty.
Yeah, they're done. They should
they're
be done.
All right. All right, Troy. Well, let's see what other people think of that. Immediate justice. What do you all think of that idea? Is that a good idea? Immediate justice. You know, I would like to see some statistics on how many people are reversed in capital cases on appeal. And I don't mean necessarily on technicalities, but I mean on new proof of some sort or another that is brought forth that renders them innocent. I think there's been a fair rash of that with the new genetic testing, hasn't there? Okay. Okay, here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
All right.
Say, I'm really looking forward to your show tomorrow night.
Oh, so am I.
He's my you know, favorite guest.
Oh.
Say, I received a video in the mail that I have had on order for some time. It's on the science of Nikola Tesla.
Oh, yes.
And it's being hosted and, you know, narrated by Stan Dale. And I just wanted to know if that was the same Stan as you had on last night. His last name is spelled D-E-Y-O.
That's the way Stan spells it.
Well,
what is the name of the video?
It's called The Eye of the Storm.
You know, I'm not sure if that's the same Stan Dale.
Well, he lives in Australia.
Well, then it's got to be. It's got to be then.
That's amazing. It's really a good video. It's on the you know, science of you know, Nikola Tesla, and it's got some stuff on the Philadelphia experiment and
yes,
and anti-gravity and
yes.
Tesla free energy.
Yes, well, that sounds exactly like the kind of thing that's right down Stan's alley.
Well, that's really amazing. And, you know, lastly here, not to make light of this terrorist you know, profile that you were talking about, you know, a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but I was really serious about it. They're going to start stopping more people with a, quote, terrorist profile, end quote. What does that mean? What?
Well, I think I know what one looks like. It's on page 11 of your newsletter.
Page 11 of my newsletter. I don't have a current copy here. What is that a photograph of?
The Chupacabra.
Chupacabra. Well, that's terrorism, all right. There's no question about that. Thank you. And I, you know, anybody who looks like that should be stopped in any airport and would be. No problem. But I really am serious about the terrorist profile. They're never going to tell us. I'm sure it's written up and they know what it is, but I don't, and I'm curious about it. What does a terrorist look like? Is it a disheveled person? Is it a person traveling alone? Is it a person who's sweaty and clutching a briefcase? I mean, what is a terrorist profile? What kind of water do you drink? Well, if you drink tap water, then you're getting aqua terrorism. You're getting things like lead, parasites, chlorine, and those parasites, ooh, little tiny microscopic chupacabras, awful. There is a way to avoid it. A good way, and bottled water is not, well, you've heard stories, we all have, about bottled water. It sits, and that's not good. Water sitting is not good under any conditions, even good conditions. But the Water Pure countertop system will filter your tap water, take it, all that stuff out at 99%. It takes 1 minute to install. 1 minute. It's guaranteed 100%. And when you get it installed, you draw some tap water in one glass, and you draw a glass of water from the countertop system in the other, and hold both up to the light, and you'll be sold. That'll be it. Water Pure is on sale right now. The Big Summer Spectacular gets you $40 off the regular price, which means you pay $119.95 for a quality water filtration system. Now, with it, folks, you get a $30 value, a travel filter, absolutely free. Absolutely free. And if you call before noontime, you get free shipping and handling, a $7 value. The number to call before noontime is 1-800-313-PURE. That's 1-800-313-PURE, PURE. All right, let me see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
I absolutely can't believe it. It's been so long I've been pushing this button to dial this phone.
Well, I'm glad you got through. Where are you?
I am Josie, and I am from Richmond, Virginia. I might be not only your first caller on the air from, I might be the first caller on the air from Virginia anyway.
This morning.
Well, I haven't heard of anyone calling from Richmond.
Well, I'll tell you what. The first night that that Richmond went on the air with us, we opened the call, the lines for Virginia, and that's all we've got.
Oh, that's
wonderful. All we got that night. You see, you've got to understand, we've got approaching 280 radio stations.
I think it's great. I'm telling everybody about this because it's not advertised. Also, we go off the air at 4:30,
right.
Although I managed to get it from a Cleveland station until 5. But I would like to know the numbers on the dial that the Washington station would be, so that I could maybe try that and see if I could pick it up.
Well, I'm not allowed to give that away yet.
Oh,
I can
not
do...
the numbers on the dial.
No, I'm not allowed to give that away until Monday.
Oh, okay.
But Monday, well, I can give that away.
In any case, I had some ideas that might help out in these various issues that you all and you've been discussing and the other people have been discussing. And one of them is about the drug thing, and that has to do with the Harry Brown. I wouldn't vote for him because I would not want to privatize parks and end up with wall-to-wall shopping malls from one end of the country to the other.
Well, his argument was fairly reasonable. I said the same thing,
mm-hmm.
And he said, but why would they do that when the attraction of the area is its beauty and, you know, you might be able to charge to get in or something, and they would maintain it for, you know, profit's sake.
If it was for profit, it would eventually be sold to somebody who wanted to develop it for mining and whatever else. I'm a little thinking.
I'm a little concerned about that myself.
Yeah. What I wanted to propose on the drug thing is that we not just legalize drugs all right outright, but we do study what they're doing in Germany and elsewhere where it's been successful.
Can I stop you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to drugs, let's stay with what Harry was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At least you got to give the guy credit for one thing. I asked him about the coming financial disaster,
mm-hmm.
and he gave an answer. Try asking Clinton or Dole
mm-hmm.
about that, and you will get anything but a real answer. They'll talk about deficit reduction and so forth and so on. If you do the math,
mm-hmm.
It's all going to come tumbling down in just a very few years.
I agree with that.
And
but
the
I don't
two major candidates won't even talk about it.
Yes, but Art, we haven't had a legislature and a president of the same party to get rid of this 40 years of liberalism. And until we do or have a veto-proof Congress, we're not going to make as much headway as we'd like on that balancing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
So I would say generally that people really ought to be out there voting for wisdom. Dole, and maybe even Elizabeth Dole might be the vice president. Who knows? But certainly she's capable of it and qualified. And Bill Buckley, I was just reading.
Well, it's not going to happen. Let me tell you why.
Mm.
All right. Do you remember back when Bill Clinton said, you're going to get two for the price of one?
Right.
And the country absolutely went berserk.
But she wasn't elected. Now, if Elizabeth is nominated as a qualified person to be a vice president, that's different. Then she would be elected.
I know, but the same thing would be tossed in their face.
Well, okay. So let's say he appoints Christy Whitman or somebody. But in any case, he does have wisdom. He would be wonderful as a he's not slick. He's not out there in front of cameras and doing all that, but he would do the work. That's the point.
I don't disagree with you.
And he would be the good in the foreign policy issues and the things where presidents are needed, appointing the right kind of people in the Justice Department and so on. And
again, I surely don't disagree with you.
So
but
if we vote for Harry Browns, we're going to just essentially be voting for Bill Clinton. That's who's going to end up getting in.
I
think Dole
pretty
needs
much
every
agree with you.
Vote we can get because the liberal media does what they do. But my idea on drugs is this: that we have centers in our cities and towns where the addicts can go and get their drugs of choice, but it must be consumed on the premises. The centers should be staffed by psychologically trained people.
I'm going to tell you why that wouldn't work.
Mm.
Okay? Most of the drug users in this country, the majority of them,
mm-hmm.
are the casual folks. You know, the guy in the suit who's got a job during the week and does a bunch of weekend binging. And maybe some binging even during the week when he's at work, right? Cocaine, sniffing, right?
I don't know if it isn't inner city that's most of it.
No, a lot of it's casual cocaine party
there
type.
There is some of that. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, the people with good jobs aren't going to go for it. But they're also not going to give up their habit. So
you think they won't give it up?
No, they wouldn't give it up, and they're not going to go down to the middle of the town and identify themselves as a drug user, because there goes their career and more. So that is going to sustain a black market. And if the goal of legalization of drugs is to eliminate the black market, unless you go all the way with it, you're not going to do it.
I think with heroin and all that, those hard drugs, though, I think the addicts are addicts. They know they are addicts. They'll go down and they'll get it. So it'll be so cheap because it'll put the dealers off the street.
I know. The dealers are going to be there dealing to Joe Businessman. Listen, I got to run.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call, and think that one over.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Gosh, I love talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back, and we'll be here one more hour. We get one more hour with you this morning, if you're hearing this now. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes?
This is Kenda from Portland.
How you doing?
I'm catching you on KOMO tonight for some reason, though, instead.
K-O-M-O.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, you're awesome. You're getting entirely too big for your britches. I've been listening to you for a year, and my only goal in life now is to get a computer so I can do your web page thing. I was at your book signing in Portland.
Oh, you were?
I have the book, and it's like this Bellite thing.
Well, tell me, why are you not managing to hear us on KEX in Portland?
It's just, my radio just doesn't get it very well.
Wow. I mean, KEX ought to come in on tooth fillings in Portland.
The mighty 1190.
Yeah, I mean, it's so strong.
I know, but for some, I guess maybe it's my apartment or something. I don't know. It just
For some reason
tonight, KOMO's just coming in clear as a bell.
Okay, well, clear as a bell. Cute. You need one of these good radios.
You're absolutely right. I'm a single parent. I work and live paycheck to paycheck, and, you know, that's just, like, not in my budget.
Let me tell you something. Even though I'm not right now, I lived all my life paycheck to paycheck, so I know all about that. Sometimes I really didn't make it paycheck to paycheck. I mean, the next paycheck did not cover the debts from the last one.
That happens, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, but, you know, I also want to tell you that I would like to strangle that woman the other night. That was quite rude to you and didn't have a clue and proceeded to tell you what you thought, and I thought that was, like, way out of line, and I would have slapped her if I could have found her.
I like the word strangulation.
Yeah, that's what comes to mind. I thought, how dare she talk to him like that?
Well, she dared. And as a matter of fact, I have a feeling she'll be back. She's not done with me.
We can hate her together.
There you go. She
I
came
spend 4 nights a week with you usually. I work graveyard, so.
Oh, you do?
So I do.
Makes the hours go faster, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, people think I'm a little strange, you know, because Art Bell said this and Art Bell said that, and it's like they look at me like I'm rather strange, but I don't look any stranger than any of the other people at your book signing, and I was very happy to shake your hand.
There was, you know what amazed me most about the book signing?
What?
There was, if you remember, there was every kind of person in the whole world there. I mean, from little babies.
But come on, they had that Art Bell up all night look.
Well, a lot of them stood in line for 5 or 6 hours.
But the camaraderie was incredible.
I know it was. It really was. It was amazing.
I mean, it was like I was best friends with the people I was in line with.
Yep.
And we were there, you know, for 6 hours.
It was a happening.
It was. I was beginning to feel like it was some kind of cult.
And if I... Cult? Jeez, please.
Oh, now, yeah, you're just getting way too big.
That's great. Now they're going to say I'm in a compound, and you know what comes next.
Oh, not for me. No, thank you. I'm not going to drink any tea. Art Bell tea.
Art Bell tea, that's right.
That would probably be squaw tea, huh?
Well, that's why, you know, I decided somebody wrote me a note and said exactly that and said that don't drink any of the water I brought. So I didn't bring any of my water for taste testing. Well,
yeah,
anyway,
we
listen.
Know why you want us to buy that water filter system.
Well, I don't want to I don't want to demean Portland's water supply in any way.
Oh no, not at all. But you know, we know that there's something in that filter that makes everybody, you know, stay with the Art Bell and buy everything.
And I wasn't going to say that part. All right, look, I've got to go.
Okay,
thank
nice
you.
Talking to you.
Take care, Portland. I mean, KEX at 1190, come on, folks. 50,000 watts. 50,000 watts. Now, Como's 50 from Seattle, and I'm sure they pour right over Portland like a great blanket. But KEX, I mean, we're talking tooth-filling stuff here. You could pick it up on a tooth-filling. First-time callers, area 702-727-1222. No. Oh, you made me hit the button, sir. Don't make me hit the button. Let's do it all over again. Your name, please.
This is Brent from Kansas City, Missouri.
That's the way to do it, Brent.
And I'd like to address the 800 Downing.
All right.
There's a fact that some of us that were in the military knew, and that is that there's a commercial way of getting shoulder-launched weapons here in the United States that are intended not to fire, but they can be made to fire if you have the knowledge to do so.
How do you get them?
You can get them through just about any surplus there is.
I find that very difficult to believe.
There's a lot of surplus places that...
I mean, you might get the tube part, the firing part.
You can buy the tubes, and you can also buy the rockets.
That's what I don't believe. I don't think you can buy the rocket surplus at all.
Oh, you can buy many types of rocket surplus.
Well, I've been in a lot of surplus stores, sir, and I've never seen an active ground-to-air rocket for sale.
No, they will not be active when you buy them, but you can make them to be active.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can virtually manufacture. And that's almost what you're doing.
You know, it's one of these things. I don't believe that it has to be exterior terrorism, but that it could be.
It could be domestic. It could be homegrown. Yes, sir. Thank you. I've said the same thing. If I had to assign a probability, I'm going to be optimistic and say 70-30. 70% foreign, 30% possibility of domestic. And I may be being optimistic. When I say optimistic, I want it to be foreign. And I said this with regard to the Oklahoma tragedy, the Murrah building. God help us if it's domestic. And sure enough, God help us. And if this TWA airliner was knocked down or bombed out of the sky by somebody in this country because of some sort of domestic dispute, God help us. I really mean that. I hope that's not true. Wildcard Line, you're on the air, top of the morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi. I got a rope. Hello, there's a farmer.
I'm sorry?
There's a farmer who lives in southern Utah.
A farmer in southern Utah.
He makes a cute little thing that says, complaint department, pull a pin, I'll take a number.
Yeah.
And it's got a little surplus hand grenade. I don't believe you can get, like, the electronics and all that in a, as in a missile.
No, I don't think so either, sir. That's exactly right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's James from Saskatchewan.
Yes, sir.
Just calling to just relay my condolences and to the families of the victims of Flight 800. And it's something that people in Canada don't realize. Every time something goes wrong in the world, we call the United States to come to come to the rescue, but it seems like every little militant group or whatever wants to beat them up. You know what? I don't know. I'm just trying to put it into words where...
Well, pretty much what I think is true, I've said before, is that no good deed goes unpunished.
I hope you're right, Arden.
Well, no. You didn't quite catch it. When the U.S. does something good in a foreign country, like when we go, for example, marching into Bosnia,
mm-hmm.
and we try to hold these people apart from killing each other and committing genocide,
you bet.
We're ostensibly doing a good thing. But there is a possibility that one side or the other just took down one of our airliners because we're there. And when we leave, there is every probability that war will resume. And that's what I mean by no good deed goes unpunished. We do good things around the world, and we're hated for it.
Yeah, well, we live close to the U.S. border here. We have no problems. You know, like, the people, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from, but there's a lot of hatred there. And like I say, we're grateful to be your neighbors, put it that way. So.
Well, we're grateful to have you two there.
And I've been listening to you for about a year, and just thought I'd call. I work a lot of graveyard shifts and stuff like that, and I don't know. It's kind of nice to have you on the air there through the night. So.
I'm glad you're there, too. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Bye-bye, Saskatchewan. That'd be a good place to go visit, Saskatchewan. Yeah, I'm a little wrung out over the 800 business for a lot of reasons. But the biggest one is, I mean, now that it's occurred, you know, beyond the obvious tragic aspect of the whole thing, let it not be one of our own. It's going to take a long time. Without anybody claiming credit, it's going to take a long time to figure this one out. Probably not going to take a long time to figure out that it was bomb or a missile, but it's going to take a long time to figure out who did it. And I guess we've come to the point where whoever it was who did it to a spread terror generally. And it's making us do make some hard choices. I mean, you know, nobody likes more security. I mean, America used to be a place where you could walk around, you'd get on an airplane, you'd figure that other people weren't out to kill you. I guess those days are gone. Wonder what it's going to be like when our children grow up. Is there going to be a cop on every corner? Are you going to have to go through various detectors that will see you naked as you go into department stores because people have been blowing those up? I mean, where is it headed, you know? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Kurt from Medford, Oregon.
Hello, Kurt.
How are you doing tonight?
Fine.
Oh, good. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned... a few days ago that you had two pictures of the chupacabra.
Yes.
And one of them looked slightly phony to you.
Yes.
I was wondering which one that was. I saw the one that was in your newsletter, or not in the newsletter.
The one in the newsletter is the one that I consider to be possibly, I don't say it's authentic,
right.
But I think it is more possible than the other.
Now, the other one, that wasn't the picture... the one you said looked phony, that wasn't the one taken somewhere in Sonora, Mexico, by chance, was it?
I don't know. I don't know where it was taken. I mean, it was sent to me anonymously, so I, as is so much of this stuff, so I have no way of knowing.
I have one in a Mexican publication that shows a dead chupacabra, or, you know, what appears to be a dead chupacabra, that was supposedly found dead in Sonora, Mexico, and it's a really scary-looking thing.
Does it look, well...
The feet on it looked like a, like almost like clawed bird feet.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing, I think I know the photo you're referring to, and I believe that's the animal it killed, not a photo of a chupacabra.
No, it's the head of a chupacabra on the front of the article, and it says, chupacabra found dead somewhere in Sonora, Mexico.
Mm. Well, I would enjoy seeing that photograph if you want to pass it along.
Oh, sure, I could do that.
Sure.
I'll get it on to you.
All right.
Okay, Art, thank
By
you.
All means, thank you. And, you know, trying to scan from newspapers is really a bummer. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but it's really hard. So, If it turns out to be anything, I will attempt to, well, I'll tell you, contacting a newspaper in Sonora is going to be rough, but I will give it a shot. I will give it a shot, and we'll see if we can get the original photograph and get that scanned in, even though that would be a big old pain in the neck. Then you would have a good rendition. We will be right back. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Ah.
Turn your radio off, please.
Yeah, I've got it.
There you go.
Finally got through to you, for heaven's sakes.
So it would seem, for heaven's sakes. Where are you?
In Owensboro, Kentucky.
Owensboro, Kentucky. You know who said that a lot, for heaven's sakes?
No.
Susie Wong, for heaven's sakes.
For heaven's sakes. Well, I called to talk about the Washington Dog and Pony Show.
Maybe it was for goodness sakes. The Washington Dog and Pony Show, what fun. All right, let's hear it.
Do you think it really makes much difference who gets elected, either party anymore?
Not a great deal.
Well, I really don't.
Now, wait, let me rephrase that. At the presidential level, with the two candidates, main ones we have running, not a great deal.
No, I don't think so either. It should have been a clue to everybody in the country when Mary Magdalene married James Carville after, you know, the last election that somebody was getting whatever.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, if I see them together one more time saying, but oh dear, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to hurl.
I can't stand the clenched teeth talking anyway.
I mean, it's like the political act from hell. They're constantly guests on... Meet the Press, and it's ugly to watch.
The whole business is sickening. I mean, they get married. Rush Limbaugh's in attendance. They're married by Clarence Thomas. Half of the right wing, half the left wing is at the wedding, and probably the chief topic at the wedding was probably how they're all making fools out of the country.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know that in recent years, sir, I used to be incredibly political. My show used to be all political.
Right.
But that was back when there was a distinct fight, when there was a distinct difference, when there were distinct issues being argued. If I ever got back to that, I might get interested again. But right now, I really do agree with you. There are other things in life to talk about, and I'd just soon talk about them, because it's like chasing around in a circle. You're never going to get anywhere. It's just a bunch bashing back and forth, meaningless, without forward progress toward solving any real issues. It's ridiculous.
The solutions to all of the problems are exactly the same with slightly different words.
Yep.
They've got people fighting over abortion.
Yep.
That or the other.
Yep. You're on to it.
Nobody cares about NAFTA and the big things.
Yep.
Or they do care. It's just that we're not going to discuss them, not really.
You're exactly right.
I'm sorry, but
there's nothing else to say.
Do you think Perot offers an alternative?
I think that Perot had his opportunity. I voted for Perot.
So did I.
Not because I thought... actually, I did think in the beginning that he would win, that he had a chance. And that's the main reason. And I thought he would go to Washington and probably drive them out of their collective minds.
Oh, yeah.
And they would probably end up ejecting him like a bad dream at some point. But he would have done some real change before they got rid of him. And he screwed it up. I mean, if he had not dropped out, and if there hadn't been the business about his daughter's wedding and all the rest of it, he'd have won that election.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think he has a chance to win the next one.
I don't.
You really don't?
No. I think if Perot runs again, if he becomes a candidate, if he wants the candidacy of the Reform Party, he's going to get it. But he's sure as hell not going to get 19%.
He may.
Want to bet?
Well, no, I'm not that certain, but it would be not. You know, if the guy got up there, you know, everybody says if he gets there, then he's got no support. Nothing will get done. As far as I'm concerned, if he sat there and vetoed every bill and nothing got done for 4 years, it'd be an improvement.
I would be willing to bet you he won't clear single digits. I'm sorry, but I believe that. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. I wish I could say I believed otherwise. But because of his behavior, self-inflicted injury, I don't think he'll clear single digits if he is the nominee. And west of the Rockies, you are upon the air. Good morning.
Is that Art?
Well, yes, it is.
Art, this is John calling from Waikiki.
Waikiki. What, are you right down on the beach?
Art, yes, I am. I'm right on the beach, and I got to tell you, I've been listening to you for 2 years now, and I love your show.
Well, thank you.
And I love you, and I love your, everything about you. Art, I just wanted to call to say that. Yeah, I understand your wife is from Ever Beach.
I have a beach, is correct.
That's right. That's where I was born and raised.
And she tells me that when I go home with her, I will have to meet hundreds of people.
Oh,
she has, she says, hundreds of relatives.
Is she a plantation girl?
A plantation girl? Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, I'll be darned. Yeah, that's all the kids I was brought up with. I probably met her. I don't even know.
You might have.
I got to tell you, I worked a midnight shift over at the city morgue, and I listen to you every night, and I don't know what I'd do without you, Art.
I guess you wouldn't want to say we liven the place up.
Art, thank you.
Well,
I love you.
Well, thank you, and yeah, I love you, too.
Aloha, brother.
Live in the place. Huh? Imagine working in a morgue. Whew. I don't know. Notice how I just picked this at the right time. It's my morgue music of the moment.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Come on, baby, don't feel free. Baby, take my hand. Don't feel free. We'll be able to fly. Don't feel free. Baby, I'm your man. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 25th of July, 1996.
Ah, good morning. Don't you love this? I always did. Kim Carnes. She actually got to do this for Betty Davis before she passed on. That's one husky voice. Until you come out blue. She's got Betty Davis eyes. Good to be with you. And by the way, my incredible webmaster, Keith Rowland, has already put the secret message on the webpage as a WAV file, so computer enthusiasts can download it and play with it until you get it. But nobody, nobody reveal it to anybody else until tomorrow night in the first hour of the Richard Hoagland extravaganza. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
I was just wondering if you could give us an update on how your cats are doing.
My cat, well, my two cats, my big 17-pounder, he's great but grumpy. He's like a, you know, grumpy old man.
Uh-huh.
My little girl is the sweetest cat in the whole world. She hugs you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she reaches up, puts her claws around your neck and hugs you and licks your ear. And my wild thing,
Comet,
is now, well, I'll tell you, when we have dinner now, he
uh-huh.
will come right up to our feet and allow us to toss him little bits of food.
Oh, good.
He will let me pet him. I can touch his belly. I can touch his head and his ears. He will not yet let me pick him up. He will not yet come onto my lap. But that's coming.
Oh, good.
So, in other words, we're probably about 70% tame from completely, I'm going to kill you because I'm wild and I don't like humans.
Yeah.
Stage.
Well, and also, I was wondering if you could kind of give us a rundown on what Richard Hoagland's going to talk about tomorrow night.
Absolutely not.
You can't. Not
like my secret message until tomorrow night. It remains secret.
Okay.
See? That's what makes you listen, right?
Yeah. I'll tune in tomorrow night.
You'd listen anyway.
Yeah, I do.
All right, see.
Thanks.
Pardon me?
About the death penalty?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem right.
To what?
You know, to force people to make a decision about, you know, it's like two wrongs just do not make a right. It just is unfathomable to me that we can, you know.
Oh, you're against the death penalty?
Yes, definitely.
But it's not two wrongs. You tell me, what if a life is taken? Then what is justice? I mean, we have justice for various crimes. Whether you go in and rob somebody and take their money, go into their house, take their possessions, steal their car, various crimes. But if the crime is taking a life, something irreplaceable, then what does justice demand in return for that?
Well, what about, Constitution giving back to the victim, giving back to the community.
You can't give back to somebody who's dead.
But to the family.
That's the family. They're still alive. The justice is required for the taking of life with malice and forethought.
So you're for it?
Yes, I am.
Definitely.
Yes.
And what about the different degrees of
Well, that's why we have different degrees. If you take life,
accidental,
it's called manslaughter.
Uh huh.
And we don't levy the death penalty for manslaughter, only for first degree murder, premeditated, planned murder.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much for the call, and take care and think that over. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Oh, indeed, this is an honor.
I'm glad to have you.
Oh, believe me, the pleasure's on this end. This is Chuck from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
I work nights, and you have been a real godsend. Fellow that I work with turned me on to you about 4 or 5 months ago.
What makes you think he sent me?
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Art, I'm nervous on beyond belief.
Me too.
I got a real quick one for you, being a cat lover.
Okay.
Seems that Mr. Clinton walks into the White House Oval Office with a cat under each arm.
Uh-huh.
Al Gore says, "What's the story?" And he said, "I got these for Hillary." Al Gore smiles and says, seems like you made a good swap to me.
Oh, that's terrible, sir.
Well, what can I tell you? Art, I enjoy your program. I've been a big fan of archaeology and the unknown for years and years. I will continue to listen to your show. Keep up the good work, and Godspeed on your trip.
Thank you, my friend. Take care. What we try to do is ask the questions and deal with the things that I guess everybody wants to deal with. So, there you are. Dear Art, I would like to hear your opinion on PrimeStar versus Dish. Well, I've seen them all. I like Dish. Period. I mean, to me, it's a walk-away, easy choice. Again, Crane handles those. We haven't really begun a... What we're doing... I don't even want to talk about it a lot, but if you want to ask Crane about Dish, ask him. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell, this is Sean in Albuquerque.
Hi, Sean.
I got a couple of questions for you.
All right.
The first question would be... I have your newsletter, and all of my friends seem to steal that newsletter away from me. So
yeah, they get passed around a lot.
Oh, yeah, really quick. Whenever the subscription is close to being up,
yes.
Do I get a little card in the mail that says anything that it's time to get a new subscription?
You know what? I don't know. I would certainly believe that would be the case. I mean, they'd be crazy not to, but I don't know for a fact that they do, so I don't have a ready answer for you.
I guess my second question would be, do you all offer a T-shirt, an Art Bell T-shirt, Dreamland T-shirt?
You know, we really haven't gone into that yet. We're going to do that one of these days, but our network is grown to the network itself is like up around 400 stations, and you have no idea how much of a management effort that requires, says he who doesn't really do any of it. In other words, they're really, really, really busy people up there, and we will get around to that.
Okay, well, hey, I enjoy your show, and thank you for being on for me. You've caused me severe insomnia by now, but...
All right, thank you. I'll tell you what we have done. This is a secret. For those of you that are going on the, going to Russia and Scandinavia with me, I shouldn't say this because it should be a surprise, but we've made up a special six-color memorial T-shirt for the 96 tour of Russia and Scandinavia. It is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I could describe it, but that part I will keep secret. How's that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, Art?
Yes.
This is Marcia in Tennessee.
Marcia in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to Lexington tonight to visit my first grandchild.
Uh-huh.
And I need to know where I can pick you up so I don't miss the Hoagland Show.
In Lexington, Kentucky?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Hold on. Lexington, Kentucky. Let's see if we have something. I'm sure we do. Lexington. How about WLXG? 1300 on the dial, right there in Lexington.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, you're welcome. Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, listening on KSFO out in San Francisco, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I missed the Harry Brown interview. Is that going to be repeated while you're on vacation?
Yes.
Ooh, good.
And do you know when we're going to do it?
When?
Right in the middle of the Republican convention.
Oh, wonderful.
Is that timing or what?
Well, I looked at the Republicans and the Remicats, and I see really no difference.
I know.
The Republican Party had 2 years to show me something, and they have failed miserably.
Let me be clear about this. There is a difference in philosophy between conservative and liberal. But between the parties and their top candidates right now, you'd be lucky to slip a piece of paper in between the two, you know?
Well, anybody who tries to squeeze between Bill Clinton and Bob Dole is going to get mashed.
That well said, sir.
And I do intend to vote for Harry Brown. I believe that if you don't vote your conscience, you are throwing your vote away.
You know what? In the last election, when Ross Perot was running, I went through that. I agonized. I mean, I actually lost sleep over it. I got sick, physically sick, trying to figure out what to do. In the end, I did exactly what I wanted to do, which was to vote my conscience, and I voted for Ross Perot.
And I
would do it again. Given the same conditions as there were then, I would do the same thing again proudly, and I'm so glad I did it.
It could be interesting if Dick Lamb actually gets the nomination from that party.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, though, because
Ross Perot wants it, he's got it.
Yeah, I think Ross Perot would be the only one that would be actually eligible for the federal matching funds that Dick Lamb would be.
Because
it's not the same party.
No, I don't think that's... let's see. What
it has to be the candidate that is eligible, not the party.
Well, I know, but if they nominate Dick Lamb, then he would be the candidate.
I know, but he's not the candidate that got 19% of the vote in the last election. Only Ross Perot would be eligible for those matching funds.
No, it would depend on the amount of support you engendered. In other words, if he engendered sufficient support, Dick Lamb did, as the official candidate of the party, and raised X number of dollars, then he would be eligible for matching funds.
Well, just to be perfectly libertarian, we are not going to take them.
Well, that's right. Harry Brown has squarely said, even though there was a bit of a fight in the party, I guess, about it, that he's not going to accept them, and I have a great deal of respect for that man.
Well,
for anybody
who missed the Libertarian Convention on C-SPAN, our party platform is about 20 pages, where I imagine the party platforms of the other two, I call them one party, two branches.
Phone books. Yeah,
will be 20 kilograms.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, listen, I'll say it again, since you asked. Yeah, sure. We're going to have a full 5 hours of Harry Brown during the Republican convention. Then maybe to be absolutely fair, we'll play him again during the Democrat convention. I don't know. Actually, I'm willing to interview all of the candidates. And I say it again, that includes Bill Clinton, that includes Bob Dole. God, I would love to interview Bob Dole, and I would give him a truly fair interview. And why this man has, I've issued an official invitation to Bob Dole's campaign. I sent them information on all the affiliates, how big we are, the whole ball of wax. And anybody who's listened to this show for any period of time knows darn well, even Bill Clinton I'd give a fair interview to. And why they have not yet come to us and said, yeah, come on. I mean, Bob Dole is short of money, right? That's what I'm hearing. He's having trouble getting his message out because he's short of money. And here I am with 10 or 20 million listeners any given moment. And he's not responded. He's not responded to me. I am astounded. And frankly, if they don't, you know, this might sound very egotistical, but I promise you it's not. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the size of the forum and the fact that I give fair interviews to everybody I interview. I think. It's my style of interviewing. I don't go after people. I ask sometimes fair and hard questions, but I don't go after them. I'm no Katie Couric. And so why I haven't heard from the Dole campaign absolutely astounds me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. You're talking about a couple days ago about what may be on the president's mind about the time that plane went down, and then he visited the Olympics. And I videoed the opening ceremonies.
Yes, sir.
And he did, coming out, when he came out to greet the officials as they played Hail to the Chief, he was looking down humbly. Then all of a sudden, it looked like he almost tripped on something. He almost did a Gerald Ford,
yeah.
And he was shocked. But anyway, I don't know, his mind must have been somewhere else. But tomorrow night, will Richard Hoagland be getting into what Galileo is going to find in Europa's waters up there? In Europa, around Jupiter?
My lips are sealed.
The little life forms?
My lips are sealed.
Your lips are sealed. Mm-hmm. And let's see, what else? I guess that's it. He's coming on at midnight tomorrow night, right?
No, he's coming on at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Pacific time, yeah. First hour of the program.
Okay, I'm going to be visiting some family, and I'm going to listen to it then, if they don't mind me staying up.
Well, you mean they might tell you to go to bed?
No, I don't think so, but I don't want to disturb them as they sleep.
This is why they make earphones, sir.
Yeah, that's true.
Have a good morning.
Bye.
Take care. Yeah, that works. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
This is Russ from Hay Hall Country in Denver.
Yes, Russ, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Fine.
I've been listening to you for about 6 months now, and you're just terrific. I love all the stuff they talk about, especially UFOs and the activity like that. But, you know, I called to ask you, is it a possibility that it's a payback time? If it was a surface-to-air missile, remember when that Navy frigate knocked down that Iranian airliner?
I do, yes.
And I'm just wondering if it were that the case, if maybe the...
No, I thought we'd already been paid back for that.
Yeah, but I just think it may be because of that frigate situation knocking down that Iranian airliner. They're crazy enough to do that, you know. So I just thought I'd bring that up to you. And
well, if it turns out to be state-sponsored terrorism, and they actually pin it, for example, on Iran, there will be military action. Bill Clinton, Bob Dole, whoever is in the White House will have no choice. There will be military action.
Yeah, I would think so. I would certainly hope so. And I know that, this terrorism seems to get out of hand, and it's just getting worse and worse.
Now, the real thing to be worried about is that it's homegrown.
Yes, yes. I know the, former FBI director or somebody there said that the in the news last night that it was a simple timer and a pretty heavy explosive. That was his opinion, you know.
Well, that's all it could be because they haven't even positively said it was an explosion, so I don't really see.
Well, I thank you very much for, well, I didn't think I'd get you, but I enjoy your show and hope to listen again.
Okay, my friend, take care and thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Kilo greetings from American Pullman, listening to you on KQQQ.
In Pullman, Washington, yes.
Correct.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
Yeah, three comments. One on Bob Dole. I sure hope he comes on your show because I haven't heard any issues from him. I'd like to hear stuff about
him. Well, I sure have invited him.
My second comment, in terms of capital punishment, I think the only theories that go along with it are like retribution or just desserts.
Yes, sir.
Sort of the eye for an eye mentality. Or you could say permanent incapacitation.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, we're almost out of time here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
It's going.
All right.
In fact, it's almost gone.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll save my comments for next time.
Oh, really? Well, all right. Hold on. Would you like to get the honors tonight?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Can you hold on a moment?
Yeah.
All right. Stay right there, because I want to lay this on you all one last time. Did you get it that time? All right, sir. You get the honors.
All right. From Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yep.
Roll Tide, and good morning or good night, America.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. All right, from the high desert. Good night, America.
Beginning Monday, Coast to Coast AM moves to KFMB in San Diego.